compared to the fact that you were working for Freddie Mac.
Wait a second.
You were working
very
for
substantial. Did Bain ever do any work with any company which did any work with the government, like Medicare?
We didn't do any work with the government. I didn't have an office in K Street.
Gingrich says he was paid over $1 million for his services as a historian. And President Obama has a huge political speech tonight, his last State of the Union address before the election. CNN's Lisa Desjardins has details.
The White House says the speech tonight will focus on the economy, things like manufacturing and energy, and it will hit a key theme on the campaign trail. The president will call for fewer benefits for the rich, more attention, and tax breaks for the middle class.
At least two people are dead after Monday's severe storms in the southeast. A major tornado tore through Clay, Alabama, near Birmingham.
I saw Tuscaloosa on television, but nothing like this, not in person, though. It's heartbreaking.
47 people were killed last year by an EF4 tornado in Tuscaloosa. Scientists say for the first time, embryonic stem cells have been used to improve someone's health. In reality, not just in theory. Two people with macular degeneration say their vision improved after stem cell injections. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
What do we do before social media? Smoke signals? I mean, everybody's using it. Wouldn't it be great if you, small business owner, could get your best customers to share your message with all their friends? Now you can, with email marketing from Constant Contact. That's right, email. You send a Constant Contact email to your customers. It has a share button that lets them, well, share your message on social media. And suddenly, OMG, their friends become your next customers. This so beats smoke signals. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Everyone would like to get a few more miles from their gasoline. You'll be happy to know there's a gasoline that can help you do just that. BP gasoline with Invigorate can help your car get a few more miles per tank when compared to low detergent gas. When used continuously, it helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, which can help you go a little farther between fill-ups. We're confident you'll find a good use for the extra miles, even if it's just taking a long way home to hear the end of your favorite song on the radio. Fill up today with BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Fed Reserve policymakers begin a scheduled two-day meeting this morning in Washington. Announcement of any interest rate change or new monetary policy action will come tomorrow, midday. No changes on either front expected, but one thing will be new. For the first time, the committee led by Chairman Bernanke will issue an interest rate forecast, giving a rationale as to when changes in the key lending rate might come in an attempt to provide more clarity to markets. Martha Stewart Living is finding itself at the center of a mall fight. Macy's is suing Stewart's namesake company because of a deal to begin offering Stewart-branded products at JCPenney early next year. Macy says that violates an exclusivity agreement. Last month, JCPenney spent $39 billion for a 17% stake in Martha Stewart Living. Worry over a Greek debt deal with Eurozone finance ministers falling apart is pulling most European stock indexes down almost 1%. S&P futures right now losing 6 points, NASDAQ futures down 8. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Do you want to get a jump start on your finances for 2012? We close a majority of our home loans in 30 days or less, so you can purchase a new home or save money by refinancing and wrap up those New Year's resolutions in record time. Here's the best part. Interest rates are still historically low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.875%, APR 4.17%. And we're proud to announce that for the second year in a row, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the United States. That rate again is 3.875%, APR 4.17%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day and call Quicken Loans at 866-QUICKEN. That's 866-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
Made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
And welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday, January 24th, 2012 program. It is 6 minutes after 6 o'clock, and happy Tuesday to you. We have an amazing show lined up for you. In fact, we've got such a jam-packed show today. Safely, honestly, I'm not exaggerating, we could have, we were approached by at least, I know, two more people that wanted to be on the show today. Turned a couple of them away only because we don't have enough time. It's just the way it is, but there's so much going on and certainly stuff that's worthy, of your attention. I gotta tell you, I am so excited about today's program because everything we're going to do today is literally a grand slam home run. In the 7 o'clock hour, for those of you that were watching the Facebook page, throughout the morning yesterday, I posted a story about two very loving women who have adopted three children and they would like to, jointly adopt one of them. Unfortunately, they happen to be lesbian, and I say unfortunately because of the law, not because they're lesbian. Of course, I have no problem with them being lesbian. But Michigan law bans loving same-sex couples from adopting together, which is just, frankly, abysmal. It's appalling. We're going to have those two women on the show this morning, along with their attorney, to talk about this situation and perhaps what we can do to help them. I'm very, very excited about that. Gilda Jacobs, the president and CEO of the Michigan Department of Human Services, will be with us as well in a really difficult report. We see that far more children are in poverty today than ever before. And Gilda Jacobs, former state legislator, will be with us at 7:30. 7:50, of course, Occupy Detroit will occupy for a shift. And in the 8 o'clock hour, Chris Mihalakis is back with us, our legislative and political director. We share him with the United Food and Commercial Workers as well, but he's really ours. You know, we're going to claim him. For those of you that are just joining us for the first time, because I got an email yesterday, which was just absolutely charming. Somebody had found the show by accident for the first time in the early morning hours, and they were stunned, I tell you, to find out that, oh my God, liberal radio actually exists in the Detroit market. I don't know where you've been, but Tom, I want to welcome you to First Shift. If you're just joining us, yeah. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. tony@thetonyshow.org. Let us know that you're doing that. All right, so let's do this thing right, because we wouldn't want to do it the wrong way. Here we go.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Discussion. Our first word today is discussion. A simple word, and obviously it's appropriate for what we do because we do a lot of discussing on this show, do we not? And of course we do. It's what talk radio is all about. Talk is discussion. Discussion is talk. Of course, there's going to be a lot of discussion today. The topics I've already provided. By the way, we'll be doing a little preview in this hour of the State of the Union of this evening. The question is, does Fat Tony stay up and watch the State of the Union, or does he get up tomorrow morning and stream it? Anybody taking bets? I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do, but I already know what I'm going to do, and it doesn't matter either way, right? It doesn't matter, as long as I hear it before I meet with you tomorrow morning. Discussion, what we should be doing on a more regular basis. Discussion, something I'd like to see you folks do. Through our toll-free number, discussion, you can even do that via email or Twitter, but discussion is critical to making sure that we move the proper amount of information from our mouths to our brains Oh, to those that we influence on a daily basis, folks, you are all influencers. You are. I don't even know if that's a word, influencer. Yeah, it's a word. Discussion is today's first word. All right, and certainly a lot to discuss with Mr. Jeff Radford. We welcome him back. Good morning to you, Jeff. An interesting night. It seems like we have the same conversation every day that the Pistons and Red Wings play. Pistons lost, Red Wings won. Not that I mind saying it. I would, of course, like to see the Pistons win more, but why waste our breath? Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Yeah, it's nice to have a Red Wings win, especially over a team like the Blues.
Yeah, absolutely. 17th
straight home win, that's pretty big.
17 in a row. That is impressive. That is impressive.
There's no other way to say it.
You keep on, like, this last yesterday afternoon, I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, they were at 16 in a row. I'm thinking, you know, the law of averages now are obviously working against them. They're going to lose at some point at home. Well, maybe they won't. I mean, but at some point, of course, they will. And you go, well, tonight might just be that night. You don't want it to be against, a club that you're right there with. We're right there with them. Yep. So the good news is we did win and won pretty handily. And although our power play hasn't been performing brilliantly of late, it did last night. And in fact, our power play was the difference last night. So thank God we played well. And unfortunately, like I said, for the Pistons, they just got embarrassed last night, lost by 20.
And that's a change from other days. How?
Not at all, unfortunately.
It's just weird to think that they have had. They only got 3 wins on the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe did they get one?
They have 3.
All right, 3 wins on the season, and yet they have a 2-game winning streak somewhere in there. Like, they somehow managed to put 2 wins back to back. That's the incredible part of it.
Yeah, I guess it is the incredible part of it. Hey, listen, real quick, very quickly, the Boston Bruins went to the White House yesterday. This is because this has made the national news, and their goalie decided not to go. He decided not to go because he's not very enamored with the federal government right now.
No, that's exactly what he said. He believes the federal government has grown out of control, threatening the rights, liberties, and property of the people.
Quoting that, quote unquote, yeah.
That's why he decided not to go. I don't know. I understand you want to protest or whatever, but I don't know. If that's your quote, I don't know how. I don't know. I just think you won a championship. I look forward to, especially he's one of 2 Americans on the team, and the entire team went except for him. It's a chance to meet the president. Even if it was George Bush, and I don't agree with a lot of the principles and stuff that he did. I'm going to meet George Bush and go to the White House. You know, that's just me.
Well, this is, he is, of course, is not the first professional athlete to not come. And actually, there were 3 members of last year's team that didn't show. He had Tim Thomas, Thomas or Thompson? What's his last name?
Thomas.
And one of his teammates who was injured, and somebody that's no longer with the team. So, this is not the first professional athlete that hasn't done it. And he went on to say, by the way, that this isn't political, which I don't know how you get away with that statement, because he said both parties are at fault for the abysmal situation this country's in. But that's political, isn't it? Isn't that a political statement?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I understand that correctly.
That's like saying, well, I'm not going to go to the grocery store, but this isn't about food. I mean,
yeah, right.
How does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, I'm with you, dude. I get to go to the White House. I'm going to go to the White House. But that's just me.
I don't think that makes, say you were invited to the White House and it was during when Bush was in office. That doesn't mean by showing up that you agree completely with everything that's going on. I would go. I mean, again, this is just me. But, boy, President Bush, I think, would be completely fascinating to sit down and have a discussion about baseball with.
He would be, because remind people of his baseball background. A lot of people don't remember.
He owned the Rangers.
Yep.
And he's a huge baseball fan. I think, as long as we don't talk about other things, we'd be fine. Talk about baseball.
Yeah, well, I still want to know why he traded Sammy Sosa. What the hell was he thinking?
Maybe he knew one day Sammy Sosa was going to pump himself up.
Well, his father, the former president of the United States and the former director of the CIA, you know, perhaps his interrogation skills were needed at that point. I don't know.
Hey, by the way, baseball, did you hear about the news in the Tigers?
What?
Apparently, and I would have loved to have this guy. They were going after Roy Oswalt. And they actually asked Justin Verlander to personally give him a call and tell him, hey, look, you know, Detroit's a great place to play. You'll like it here. And even with a Justin Verlander phone call, Roy Oswalt said he doesn't want to come to Detroit.
All right. But I also heard that Cespedes, or however you say his last name.
Cespedes.
Cespedes. Detroit is one of his top three choices. Did you hear that yesterday?
Yeah, his top three choices are basically the top three teams that will give him the most money. And up until the Victor Martinez deal, the Tigers weren't one of the top three. But suddenly they have this opening and they're willing to spend a little bit more. And so, yeah, now he's, okay, yeah, the Tigers are one of my top three teams.
Well, that's all right. I like to be in the mix.
I think the rumor is we'll know, I think, within the next week or two about his citizenship.
Is he still waiting on his visa to clear?
He's trying to get to be a Dominican Republican. All right. And then he can come to the United States and play baseball.
The good news is I'm hearing the cues today, so that's a good thing.
You're hearing the what?
The cues, Anthony's cues.
Oh, okay, I was like, I'm thinking sports. I'm like, what, you're hearing Syracuse talk about what?
No. Hey, listen, Bruce Felk, and we should see if we can grab the audio. Apparently, Tom McMillan had a town hall meeting yesterday and a little confrontation there. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but it might be fun to grab that audio, guys. It's on the Facebook page. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got a lot to get to today. We got an amazing show today. I'm really excited about our guest in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little bit more about that. On the other side, 888-552-3595 is the phone number. Tony at thetonyshow.org is the email address. And on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW. Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. We'll get going right after this.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
We'll welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident northbound 75 after Gibraltar Road. It's blocking two lanes. Only the left lane is open. Expect some delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, cloudy, a high near 35 today. Some breezy winds out of the west as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 24. Then tomorrow, still cloudy, a high just above freezing. Right now, it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Ship coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting tension nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here. Because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected officials, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. Now, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them that this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Just very quickly, want to go back to our guest in the 7 o'clock hour. You know, Jeff, it was interesting because I noticed a little energized response in you yesterday when you called to try to get April DeBoer and Jane Rouse on the show today. How their attorney was so excited to get them on, and eager, I should say. I don't know if excited is the right word. Eager to get them on, and very supportive of what we were trying to do. And in fact, the attorney herself is going to be joining us as well. I think her name's Carol Stanyar, is that right?
Stanyar, yep.
Yeah. You know, for those that aren't familiar, there's a lesbian couple here in Southeast Michigan that have adopted three children, Jeff. They've adopted three kids, but they can't adopt them together. They have to adopt them separately, which just seems so ludicrous. It's so many levels. I mean, this is just so homophobic, and so I'm so pleased that they're stepping up and doing this. The idea, Jeff, that we can't wrap our minds around this concept that, you know, two people just love each other, that, you know, that because one, you know, doesn't have a penis and or a vagina, or, you know, why does that matter? I just don't understand why that matters. Now,
did you see the Twitter feed and a response we got?
No, I did not. I'm sorry, I didn't.
One said, this guy, and you know him, says, you guys know the story is not about being gay. It's about not being married, right? You know that, right?
Oh, stop it. It has absolutely nothing to do.
Well, why can't they get married? Because they're gay?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then it is about being gay, right?
I mean, right.
It's funny how some people will try to circumvent the actual argument by saying, you know, by pointing something else out. Well, it's because they're not married. Well, okay, then help them get married. No, they can't get married. Why not? Because they're gay.
Right,
it
yeah.
goes right back to the argument, the initial argument anyway.
Wow. No, that's a good catch. No, I didn't see that. You know, and I got to tell you, I had to turn my Twitter feed off. I know it doesn't bother you. In fact, you enjoy it, and you actually get a lot out of it. It drives me nuts because it goes all day long, nonstop.
No, I do. I have to turn it off eventually. But, I mean, there's times, there's days, there's hours where, yeah, I like having it on, but I can't. You're right. It just gets me. It goes crazy after a while.
Yeah, because you end up, you really do pay attention to it, which is, of course, the point of having it active. You know, you wouldn't do it just to listen to that noise because, trust me, that would drive you nuts. But it's just too much. I've just had to turn it off because I just can't get anything done. All right, let's, we got a lot to do. We have really got a lot to do. Let's start with this one. Our first shift Facebook poll question of the day. Oh, before I even go there, did you get that McMillan audio? Did you record that?
We got 2 minutes. He doesn't really say much, but it's the two people questioning him about his house bill.
Right, and it's a House Bill 5039, which is my understanding. It's an anti. It's an anti-gay bill. Is that your understanding as well?
The way the two people are questioning him about it. Yes.
All right. So we'll hopefully we'll have time to play that in this hour because we don't have any time the rest of the day. We really don't. So hopefully we'll get to that. But our first year Facebook poll question of the day, which is already getting buried, but that's okay. Detroit City Council President Charles Pugh says he is not going to run for reelection. But he may run for mayor. Would you vote for him for mayor if you could? If you could is the key to that, because I realize a lot of us don't live in the city. So there's the question. Go ahead and vote. With that said, on Channel 4 WDIV yesterday, Charles Pugh talked to a reporter, and this is what he had to say.
My intent was never to run for council more than once.
Council President Charles Pugh tells me he's not running for re-election, but don't believe he's done with politics just yet.
At the end of these 4 years on council, I would make my decision about what I want to run for then.
And so it is to stay in politics.
Well,
you said what I'm going to run for.
Right. Or if I want to run. Yeah. I'll put it
down. Come on.
I know. And I'm not trying to give you the runaround. But seriously, I mean, I haven't decided.
Pugh says he'll spend 2012 talking with the people. But will the people question him about his own financial troubles? He's losing his home, unable to keep up with the payments. He'll soon be leasing a place nearby.
Reality is that I was going from making a six-figure salary to making a five-figure salary. And I just couldn't renegotiate the mortgage. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and that's that reality. I like Charles Pugh, but I don't. I mean, I like him as a guy. I really liked him as a reporter. I don't know that I'm all that enamored with him as a city councilman or as the president of the city council. Not that I'm totally opposed to him, because I'm not. But I don't know that I'm 100% in his corner either. I'm just being honest, folks. That's just all. How would you like it if you were to open up your go home today and open up your mail and there's a letter from Governor Snyder telling you your school system's in trouble? I said the governor, Rick Snyder. Channel 7 report on just that. Here, let's listen to this.
Highland Park School District says they've been getting a lot of phone calls from parents panicking about a letter they received from the governor. In that letter, he discusses the school district's financial crisis and says HPS is in danger of closing next month without immediate action. Governor Rick Snyder says, quote, "I'm concerned about the welfare of the students at HPS and their educational opportunities. I am not willing to take a chance with your children." Spokesperson Robert Davis says he was just in Lansing for a hearing on Friday. The district is appealing a decision made by the governor to bring in an emergency financial manager.
School district was up in Lansing on Friday, and they failed to share this letter with us, which is quite disingenuous, again, on their part. We're supposed to be participating in a fair and impartial hearing, and here the governor is behind our back sending this particular correspondence to the parents.
There's so much going on and you don't know what to think, so anything is possible, could happen, and the outcome come out, good things don't happen, so you got to take it as it goes.
And the school district says that they're assuring parents that the school district will not close next month. Meanwhile, they're waiting for a decision to be made on the appeal sometime this week. In Highland Park, Tara Edwards, 7 Action News.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. As I'm sitting here thinking, and as a parent, I get a letter. I'm not so sure that that's a problem for me. If I'm a member of the school administration, I'm very concerned. I'm up in Lansing, and I'm not even told that this letter is going to go out. Wasn't there an obligation from the governor's administration to share with the officials from Highland Park Schools that the governor was sending a letter? Don't you think that was appropriate? I certainly do. And again, there's nothing. I don't have a problem with the letter. I really don't, because people need full disclosure. But that's the point, is it's not full disclosure if the governor isn't informing the administration that he's sending a letter. That's a problem, and that's a serious problem. And they're going to have to work through that. When we come back from the break, the State of the Union is this evening at 9 o'clock. Jay Carney, the president's spokesperson, was on Channel 7 Action News last night, gave a preview of the State of the Union. We'll listen to what he had to say. There's a lot of take on the State of the Union. Plus, there was a debate last night. The GOP candidates once again debating in Florida, kind of anticlimactic if I'm going to be honest about it, but some good stuff came of it, and you'll enjoy it. And again, if you'd like to join us, feel free, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. Go fill up our coffee. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Last little traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Crew still working that accident northbound 75 after Gibraltar Road. It's blocking two lanes. Only the left lane is open, so expect some delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today to enjoy the new crispy, juicy goodness of the poppable Chicken McBites, made with tender, all-white meat, marinated and coated with home-style seasoning to satisfy your appetite. It won't last long. So try our new Chicken McBites today. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, cloudy, a high in the mid-30s. Gusty winds out of the west as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the lower to mid-20s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high near 35. Right now, it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Obama must okay that Keystone XL pipeline from Canada to the Gulf Coast, mark the corporatists in Congress, because the Exxons and Chevrons need a way to get all that Canadian tar sands oil to their Texas refineries. That'll increase the supply of gasoline and lower the price at the pump. It's economics 101, bucko. Really? Well, consider this complicating fact. Rather than shipping an abundance of gasoline to our gas stations, Big Oil has quietly been siphoning oceans of fuel from their U.S. refineries, shipping it to Asia, Europe, and Latin America. Last year, for the first time ever, fuel became the top export of the United States. The big refineries shipped 117 million gallons of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel per day out of our country. Suddenly, fuel exports are bigger in dollar value than the foreign sales of American aircraft, agriculture, or any other product. Commuters, truckers, farmers, airlines, and others who are dependent on these fuels have been soaked in the past year by gasoline pump prices that have averaged $3.52 a gallon, a record high. This price shock has given Big Oil's political puppets an excuse to yap ceaselessly about the urgent need to build that pipeline. The environment be damned is their cry, full speed ahead to increase supply. These ranters don't mention, the giant refiners' control and manipulation of our gasoline supply for their own fun and profit. While the refiners refuse to reveal how much they profit from exporting fuel, the more they send overseas, the less there is here at home, allowing them to jack up our prices. No surprise, then, that the Big Five gasoline makers enjoyed record profits in 2011. This is Jim Hightower saying, rather than ripping apart our environment to serve these finaglers, America urgently needs a full conversion to alternative fuels.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for great?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-485-9671. 888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
Absolutely. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to this Tuesday, January 24th morning. Can you believe literally a week away from February? Where the hell does the time go? I mean, we're already a month past Christmas. Blah, 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 blah. Just kind of amazing. Anyway, Jay Carney, the president's spokesperson, press secretary, was on with Channel 7 Action News yesterday, talking about the State of the Union, which is this evening, which I know many of us are very much looking forward to. Let's listen to a little bit of what he had to say about the State of the Union. The
president looks forward to speaking to the American people from Congress tomorrow night to give his State of the Union address. He will lay out a vision of the future that involves building an American economy that's built to last, that rewards hard work and responsibility, that makes sure everyone plays by the same rules and reaps the rewards of this great country in a way that's fair. He'll focus on American manufacturing as well as American domestic energy production, the need to develop skills for American workers, and American values and the importance of making sure that our values are reflected in the policies we pursue. So this is an opportunity for the president to talk about not just the State of the Union as it exists today, the fact that we've turned the corner and are pulling ourselves out of the worst recession since the Great Depression, we're creating jobs and growing, but that we still have a long way to go. We need to take decisive action to make sure the economy continues to grow, to make sure that jobs are being created in the United States and not overseas, to make sure that we're doing everything we can to develop energy sources here at home so that we're less dependent on foreign energy sources.
Yeah,
and that's what he'll do tomorrow night, and it's a great opportunity. He's looking forward to it.
Absolutely, and I think that, you know, one of the points that needs to be made is the economy is beginning to grow, certainly not as quickly as we would like. There's no question that's true, but we are creating jobs, and we do need to give the president a lot of credit for being very patient with the Congress that has not been very patient with him. And again, I go back to the simple idea, if they would just 10% of the time work with President Obama, what they might be able to accomplish. He goes on, Jay Carney does, to talk about President Obama's role in helping to save the auto industry, and this is what he had to say on that.
Well, I think you can expect that the president will note the fact that there was a big decision that had to be made soon after he took office, and that was whether or not to let the American automobile industry essentially die as we know it, or whether to ask the American people to help the American automobile industry be saved. And in return for his decision to help save that industry, the major companies, GM and Chrysler, reformed themselves. And as you know, GM is now top of the market again, the biggest car company in the world. And American car companies are making a profit and hiring and creating jobs here in this country again and creating terrific products that are more than competitive around the world. So that's a story that needs to be told, and it's a story that this president wants to be replicated around the country. There's something of an American renaissance happening with manufacturing in this country, where we're seeing a lot of jobs being created in the manufacturing sector, and he wants to do everything he can as president, working with Congress and working around Congress to ensure that manufacturing jobs are created here in this country so that we build an America that's with an economy that's built to last.
Yeah, and I think, again, Jay Carney makes a good point that a lot of people thought manufacturing was dead. Where would not just the Michigan economy but the national economy be right now without manufacturing? It's far from dead. In fact, it's on a revival that we should be quite proud of. And I think it's going to continue to grow, maybe in a different way, but it'll continue to grow. It's reinvented itself. A lot of that, of course, has to do with the fact that organized labor stepped up and reformulated the method in which they do business as well. It's just been a really not necessarily seamless, maybe at even times a little bit complicated, but the process has been working well, and that's why we're seeing some growth. 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones and welcome Zach in Detroit. Zach, welcome to First Shift on this early Tuesday morning. How are you doing? What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony. Here's what I'm thinking. I've been watching these debates for a little bit here now, and I think the media is doing probably it's in a subtle way their best to elect a Republican president. And here's why I think that. they're not asking the tough questions that really need to be asked to the candidates. I mean, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, they make these rash statements that the president is a socialist, he's like this European leader, but they never ask the questions like, how would you do things differently? What specific would you do? How would you lower gas prices? How would you stop outsourcing of American jobs? What do you think is a minimum wage? Or what do you think is a middle-income wage? I mean, they allow these guys to go out there and just make these rash statements on national TV, yet really never ask the serious questions.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Newt Gingrich just this past weekend says it's the elite media that wants to protect Barack Obama. They say that, you know, he says that they're protecting the president, that they want him reelected.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the first question that was asked of Newt Gingrich in the last debate, they asked him about, oh, yeah, your wife came out and made these allegations. Immediately, Newt turned around and made it look like he was the victim when he was actually doing the victimizing in that situation.
Well, you know.
But, I mean, they allow that kind of thing to happen.
Well, you know, I would agree with you, Zach, that the mainstream media has not done a very good job, and I don't care for talking Democrats or Republicans, they have not done a very good job of helping shape and define the issues. I think that you have that totally correct. And it almost seems like, especially as it comes to Newt Gingrich, they're almost afraid of him. Do you get that impression? Because I do. All right, I think we lost Zach, but that's all right. I get that impression. It almost feels like the media is a little bit afraid of Newt Gingrich, no question. Anyway, a little bit more on the State of the Union, which is this evening. Jonathan Alter from Bloomberg was on MSNBC talking to my good friend Ed Schultz about what President Obama needs to make clear tonight in the State of the Union speech. Very interesting take on this. Go ahead and play that audio, Jeff.
I've read a lot about what the president's going to talk about Tuesday night. And it sounds to me like the same old policies that we've seen. More spending, higher taxes, more regulations. The same policies that haven't helped our economy, they've made it worse. And if that's what the president's going to talk about Tuesday night, I think it's pathetic.
House Speaker John Boehner playing dirty again ahead of the president's State of the Union speech tomorrow night. Well, of course, the facts show that Boehner is completely wrong. 22 months of private sector job growth, fewest unemployment claims since April of 2008, General Motors back as the world's largest automaker, and I think the president is pretty bashful about the stock market, which, of course, has everybody's retirement or 401k or something. Most Americans are in it. And it was, I think, just over 6,000 in March of 2009, and it's over 12,000 now. I mean, how can you argue with that success? What does he have to do tomorrow night?
Well, I think he has to lay out some of where we were and where we've come to in order to just put the lie to this lie. I hate to be so blunt about it, Ed, but if you say, as the Speaker of the House just did, that the economy has gotten worse, that's a lie. You know, if he said, we've had anemic, disappointing growth, we need to do much better, the president should be fired for not doing well, that would all be fair political comment. But he actually says something that is factually untrue. So the president has to lay out a story that explains that things have gotten better. There is tremendous misunderstanding about his accomplishments. People don't understand that the Recovery Act, the stimulus, actually worked. They don't understand that the auto bailouts worked. There's some educating that he needs to do. And then after that, he needs to pivot to a second-term agenda. He's not going to get reelected if he doesn't tell the voters what to expect in the second Obama term.
Well, and that is in essence very true. It's only fair. I take the same requirements for the state of the state, that expectation. Remember our first word last Wednesday was expectation. We take that same formula and we apply it to the State of the Union. So I do have expectations in this State of the Union address. And I will be totally honest with you tomorrow morning whether the president meets my expectations. I've been critical of this president. He has kowtowed a little bit to the Republicans, and I'm hoping that those days are far behind him because, especially now that we're in election year, we need him to stand up and show leadership. which is the same model I expected from my governor. Didn't get it. But now I need that from President Obama. And the State of the Union address tonight needs to be bold, it needs to be clear, it needs to be concise, it needs to be direct, and it needs to be fearless. If I get that, then I will. Then he will have met my expectations. If I get more than that, then I will be elated. You see, I believe in Barack Obama. I believe that he is the right man to take this country where it needs to go. I believe that the Democrats have the best model to improve the economy. In fact, as I've said on this show previously, and I'll say it again because history doesn't lie to us, it's Democrats that understand how to fix the economy historically. And it's Democrats that will be able to do that in a futuristic sense. Now, if we could just eliminate Republicans altogether. Oh, we could leave a couple around. There, you know, some of them are okay. But as Jonathan Alter just pointed out, John Boehner lied. He lied in his statement. The economy is better, and it will continue to grow. But again, just imagine what we could do. Imagine what we could do if the Republicans decided to put aside their racist attitudes and work with this man. Just imagine. GOP debate last night. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Stay where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
My guest is Grant Bossy. He is with Watchdog.org in New Hampshire.
I don't think the ads are particularly negative or worse than they used to be. They're coming from the sweetness and apple pie pack instead of from the candidates themselves, and we don't have those ridiculous 3 seconds of I approve this message at the end. But other than that, I think they might be losing their effectiveness a little more, you know, in the age of DVRs when we just fast forward through all the commercials.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-4-7-7.
855-252-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Now,
here's First Shift.
Are drugs affecting your family or friend? Call Mark and...
You guys trying to tell me something there, Jeff?
We are now doing an intervention.
Okay. That was kind of interesting. You know, very quickly, before we move on, have you seen the story this morning about the four high school football players from my neck of the woods, so the Star Academy in Dearborn Heights, that are being charged today with assault and battery for a play during last year's football season, in which it was assumed that the quarterback was just going to take a knee to end the game, and instead of allowing that to happen, they aggressively went after him, knocked him out, and caused him to have a concussion, and they were arrested for assault and battery.
I always have a problem with something happening during a game, and you're going to press charges. Unless it's, you know, like a guy, if he would have taken his helmet off and used it as a weapon, then fine. But if it's during the play of how the game goes, I always have a problem with that.
Yeah, I just thought it was a little odd. And then, unfortunately, the Star Academy is a Muslim school, and unfortunately they're making it a racial issue, and I don't see how this is a racial issue at all. I'll let all the others work that out, because that's not my game, and I don't know enough about what's going on. But I don't know how that's an issue of race, but I'm sure I'll read about it later on. Just thought it was very odd. All right, you know, Jeff, the debate, the GOP debate last night on NBC was, disappointing to some degree. And, in fact, it was on MSNBC this morning when I was watching it, where they said that the candidates, especially Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, looked and were actually quite tired, obviously very tired. I didn't watch the debate. I don't believe you watched the debate either, so I can't really attest to that. But they certainly did go after each other. There's no question that's true. And, you know, they've got a week before the next primary. This is a big one now. Newt Gingrich is behind in the polls, but obviously winning in South Carolina that gives them a big bump, and it did. How this all works out, we've got a week to figure it out. So here we go. Last night's debate. Let's listen to some of the audio. Brian Williams, initial question. Ding, ding. Here we go.
Speaker Gingrich, just tonight, 2 hours ago, in fact, you released your 06 contract with Freddie Mac. We alluded to this earlier. Your company was paid $25,000 a month, $300,000 for the year, but it didn't provide a further explanation of services for Freddie Mac. Why 1 year's worth? Governor Romney today used the expression work product. He wants to see your work product, and the word lobbying's been thrown around, and you strongly disagree with that.
Well, first of all, if you read the contract, and we can go back and check to get the other years, it's not that we had to work through the process of getting an approval because it was a confidentiality agreement. But if you read the contract, which we've posted, and the Center for Health Transformation had to get permission to post, it has very clearly, I was supposed to do consulting work. Now, the governor did consulting work for years. I've never suggested his consulting work was lobbying. So let me start right there. There's no place in the contract that provides for lobbying. I've never done any lobbying. Congressman J.C. Watts, who for 7 years was the head of the Freddie Mac Watch Committee, said flatly, he has never been approached by me. The fact is that Congressman Rick Lazio, who was chairman of the Housing Subcommittee, said he has never been approached by me. And the only report in the newspaper was in the New York Times in July of 2008, which said, I told the House Republicans they should vote no, not give Freddie Mac any money because it needed to be reformed.
All right, so there's his answer. You know, take it for what it's worth. I thought it was interesting, especially when he made the point that because it's like, well, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. You know, I've never accused Governor Romney of lobbying. Well, just because you never accused him of it doesn't mean that you aren't a lobbyist, but that's all right. We'll let it go. Next on the hit parade, Newt Gingrich says he doesn't peddle influence. I don't know. You're a politician. Isn't that what you do? Here's what he had to say.
So you never peddled influence, as he described tonight? You never peddled influence, as Governor Romney accused you of tonight?
You know, there's a point in this process where it gets unnecessarily personal and nasty, and that's sad. The fact is, I've had a very long career of trying to represent the people of Georgia and, as Speaker, the people of the United States. I think it's pretty clear to say that I have never, ever gone and done any lobbying. In fact, we brought in an expert on lobbying law and trained all of our staff, and that expert is prepared to testify that he was brought in to say, here is how the bright line between what you can do as a citizen and what you do as a lobbyist. And we consistently, for 12 years running four small businesses, stayed away from lobbying precisely because I thought this kind of defamatory and factually false charge would be made.
All right. Well, Mitt Romney, you know, by the way, it was, you know, now Mitt's on the attack, of course, because, you know, he's not doing as well as he'd like to be doing. So Mitt's now paints this picture of Newt being, well, interestingly, profiting, you know, while the residents of Florida suffer. Here's what
I'm saying. Mr. Speaker, you were on this stage at a prior debate. You said you were paid $300,000 by Freddie Mac as an historian. They don't pay people $25,000 a month for 6 years as historians. That adds up to about $1.6 million. They weren't hiring you as an historian, and this contract proves that you were not a historian. You were a consultant. It doesn't say that you provided historical experience. It said that you were as a consultant, and you were hired by the chief lobbyist of Freddie Mac, not the CEO, not the head of public affairs, by the chief lobbyist of Freddie Mac. You also spoke publicly in favor of these GSEs, these government-sponsored entities, at a very time when Freddie Mac was getting America in a position where we'd have a massive housing collapse. You could have spoken out aggressively. You could have spoken out a way to say, these guys are wrong, this needs to end. But instead, you were being paid by them. You were making over $1 million at the same time people in Florida were being hurt by millions of dollars.
Yeah, and I don't know that he made the point, but very quickly, because we're getting short on time, let's let Newt Gingrich respond.
This is a good example, though. As a businessman, you know that the gross revenue of Bain wasn't your personal income. We had a company. The company had three offices. The company was being paid. My share annually was about $35,000 a year. And the fact is I offered strategic advice, largely based on my knowledge of history, including the history of Washington. Government-sponsored enterprises include, for example, telephone cooperatives, rural electric cooperatives, federal credit unions. There are many different kinds of government-sponsored enterprises. And many of them have done very good things. And in the early years, before some people, particularly Jim Johnson and other Democrats, began to change the model, you can make a pretty good argument that in the early years, those housing institutions were responsible for a lot of people getting a lot of good housing.
All right, and that's just going to have to do it for this hour. We've got more audio. We'll try to get to a little later on. We got some other stuff that we also want to try to get to a little later on as well. More of basically Republicans claiming, you know, to be, I don't know, better than everybody, and yet they're turning around doing the same thing. We had Sarah Palin and Ann Coulter. If time allows, a little later on, we'll get to that. If not, maybe we'll just save it for tomorrow. Although tomorrow's pretty much going to be filled with State of the Union. In the meantime, we got to take a break for the top of the hour. So let's do that. When we come back, the compelling story. It's actually a love story. Two people fall in love. They adopt. They are gay. Now they're being penalized. And it hurts the children. And this makes no sense. Let's see if we can do something to help. I am Tony Trupiano. Thank you for listening to First Shift. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. We'll come back right after this.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Some good news for those of you coming up from the Monroe area, northbound 75 at Gibraltar Road. That accident we had there is out of the way. It's completely clear. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, cloudy, a high near 35. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 24. And then tomorrow, still cloudy, high in the mid-30s. Right now, it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. First Shift rolls on right after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.
If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift for Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Andy Rose. Later today, Mitt Romney will be releasing his income tax returns, a timeline that was hurried up after his loss in South Carolina. In an NBC News debate last night, Romney said he doesn't expect people to see any surprises.
I think it'll satisfy the interest of the American people, see that I pay my taxes, where I give my charitable contributions to.
He's already said he pays about 15% of his earnings in taxes. President Obama will give his State of the Union address on the gap between the wealthy and the middle class tonight, and what he calls giving Americans a fair shake. CNN's Lisa Desjardins has details on that.
This means two things. First, the White House says a fair shake means evening out the income gap. That's raising tax rates for the wealthy and lowering them for others. But Republicans call that class warfare. So the second thing this means is that the president is choosing the income fight as a key election battle.
The First Lady will have her own speech today, one on new national nutrition standards. Diane Pratt-Hevner with the School Nutrition Association says the changes will have an impact.
Healthy food costs more, and so school nutrition professionals are going to have to get more creative about how they make these healthier meals on budget, but it's a challenge that they'll rise to meet.
It's the first big change to the standards in 15 years. Senator Rand Paul had a hang-up at the airport yesterday. He refused a pat-down after a scanner went off and was not allowed to get on his plane. He says the TSA has gone overboard.
After 10 years, why is there not a frequent flyer program? Why is there not a trusted traveler program?
The TSA says there is a limited trusted traveler program in about a half dozen airports, and they're working to expand it. There'll be a court hearing today for the man accused of setting 37 arsons around Los Angeles. Prosecutors say Harry Burkhardt was motivated by his mother's immigration problems. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
If your New Year's resolution is to save money, it's the perfect time to start at Sam's Club. Become a member January 25th through the 29th and start your savings with $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings on name brand items. No coupons required. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $2 off Kleenex, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee and more. Save big this week and all year long by joining January 25th through the 29th. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership, no rain checks.
This is Charles Osgood. Why is it important that auto owner's insurance works solely through local independent agents? Because independent agents live and work right in their communities, providing you with quality service and more choices. Auto owner's insurance is ranked highest in customer satisfaction with auto insurance claims experience 4 years in a row, according to J.D. Power and Associates. For J.D. Power information, visit jdpower.com. For your life, home, car, and business insurance needs, visit autoowners.com. Auto owners, the no problem people.
The tech business is proving more lucrative as a line of work. Tech jobs website Dice Holdings tracks salaries in the industry. It finds a 2% increase last year to more than $81,000 average salary across the nation. But like in real estate, location appears to matter in tech. People in the biz in Silicon Valley, California made $104,000 last year. That's a 5% increase from 2010 and the first ever six-figure average. Last month, JCPenney spent $39 billion to acquire a 17% stake in Martha Stewart Living. But that stake does not give Penny the right to carry some Martha Stewart products. So contends Macy's, which is suing Stewart Living, arguing a plan to sell some products at Penny violates an exclusivity agreement. Worry over a Greek debt deal with Eurozone finance ministers falling apart, pulling most European stock indexes down almost 1%. Down in the neighborhood of 0.5% are U.S. stock futures, S&P futures down 7%. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
What do we do before social media? Smoke signals? I mean, everybody's using it. Wouldn't it be great if you, small business owner, could get your best customers to share your message with all their friends? Now you can, with email marketing from Constant Contact. That's right, email. You send a Constant Contact email to your customers. It has a share button that lets them, well, share your message on social media. And suddenly, OMG, their friends become your next customers. This so beats smoke signals. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Everyone would like to get a few more miles from their gasoline. You'll be happy to know there's a gasoline that can help you do just that. BP gasoline with Invigorate can help your car get a few more miles per tank when compared to low detergent gas. When used continuously, it helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, which can help you go a little farther between fill-ups. We're confident you'll find a good use for the extra miles, even if it's just taking a long way home to hear the end of your favorite song on the radio. Fill up today with BP gasoline with Invigorate.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, folks. A pleasure to be with you on this Tuesday, January 24th. It is just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock in a story that we're going to get to in just a moment. I think, of all the things we talk about, certainly politics and labor and fighting for those in the middle class and advocating for those without a voice, this next story may be one where we could probably have a large impact. And when I lay it all out for you, because ultimately, as I shared with you in the last hour, this is what I'm about to present to you as a love story. It is simply a love story. It gets complicated because of homophobic attitudes, but it's a love story at its core. We'll get to that in just a moment. A little later on in this hour, we're going to visit with Gilda Jacobs, who is with the Michigan League for Human Services. They've got a report out just this morning that's really quite daunting, especially for young people. And we're going to get to that. Certainly at a time where we are really losing focus on helping those that are in greatest need, especially here in the state of Michigan. This report is quite damning and damaging, and we'll get to that. Occupy Detroit joins us at 7:50, but let me go to my guest now because we've got a lot to get to in this hour. Joining me, let me just introduce all the people, because I've got lots of people on the phone with me today. So let me first get to some introductions, and then we'll lay out the story. April DeBoer and Jane Rouse join us now, along with their attorneys, Carol Stanyar and Dana Nessel. I don't know if you were anywhere yesterday, whether you're watching television, even the radio, and certainly the newspapers and online. You read the story about April and Jane, who happen to be a lesbian, openly lesbian couple that have adopted three beautiful children. The love story here, which is for me just absolutely amazing, is that both April and Jane decided that they wanted to have a family, so they went about adopting three beautiful children. Here's the problem. They can't adopt them together. Let me first welcome, and we'll get to the attorneys in just a moment, but let me welcome April and Jane to the show. April and Jane, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony. We appreciate you having us on at this hour.
Where are the kids at this hour?
Right now, our oldest son is knocking at the door wanting out, and our daughter is probably still asleep. Our other son is probably being woken up by his older brother.
I got you. I had three kids myself. I completely understand. If they need to interrupt us, I'm absolutely okay with that. In fact, April and Jane, if you ever need a babysitter, you know, whatever you need, you know, we're here to help you out today.
We might take you up on that. Be careful.
No, I love kids. You know, April and Jane, am I wrong in characterizing this as just a simple love story that is complicated by homophobic attitudes?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think you're actually correct. This is just a simple love story. It's not only a story about Jane and I, but it's a story about the love that we have for our children.
Well, you know, and interestingly, as I understand it, the kids do have some physical challenges that that require a little extra care. And it is also my understanding that you are both in the medical field, correct?
Correct. Our daughter has some muscle tone issues. She had a difficulty learning to walk. She still doesn't quite walk as well as a normal 2-year-old. She doesn't run or jump. Our youngest son is the one who has the major delays. He at 2 just learned to walk. He's not talking. He has some issues with feeding. He can feed himself, but he does have some issues with choking when he eats. And yes, both Jane and I are registered nurses in the state of Michigan.
All right. So, and again, Jane, so the two of you adopt, and of course you're adopting separately. So why don't we just lay that out for the audience so they understand how this is working?
Okay. So our first son, whose name is Nolan, he is 3. When he came into our life, we had to make the difficult decision of who would actually be able to adopt our child, because in the state of Michigan, we are, as a single couple, we are not allowed to adopt together. So at that point, we decided that Jane would adopt Nolan. A year later, our beautiful daughter was born, and we again had to make that decision. And at this point, we decided that I would adopt our daughter. And 3 weeks after our daughter was born, we are also licensed foster care family. We received a phone call from our foster agency about a baby boy who needed a home. And Jacob came into our life, and approximately a year later, we had to make that difficult decision also as to who would be the legal parent to Jacob. The irony of that all is that as a foster child, we're licensed foster homes, so we're licensed together. We had complete guardianship of Jacob, so both of us could make all decisions with Jacob. But once the adoption process came about, one of us ultimately lost our guardianship rights to him for him to be adopted.
I've got to just to the audience imagine how unnecessary all of this is. You have two loving people. They love each other. They're committed to each other. Been together 10 plus years now. They obviously have a proven track record of raising children. They're doing it successfully. I'm a big advocate of the foster care system, so that you two understand. My parents were foster parents. My sister and brother-in-law foster parents. I really believe in the foster care system here in the state of Michigan. I know how essential and how necessary it is. I love the foster care system in general. And so at some point, the two of you decide that you're going to challenge a law in the state of Michigan that says that a homosexual couple can't adopt children. And what made you decide to make that bold decision? Because I would think that was not an easy decision to make either.
Again, Tony, the basis of everything came down to protecting our children and their rights. We, as Carol and Dana will tell you, we could draw up all the papers in the world to try to protect them, but in any an event, a judge could walk in and say, I don't really care about what their wishes were. The best interest of this child is to be with anybody else but this other parent. And the stark reality of that, really hit home as our kids get bigger, and we really
you know, want to provide everything we can for them to ensure that, that their rights are protected, and that if something were to happen to one of us, that they would be able to receive our Social Security benefits, any other benefits allowed that a married couple and their children are currently receive.
Well, you know, and again, I want to be crystal clear on my intent here. And this is certainly a story that we're going to be following to its conclusion. And I would think, and maybe very quickly, let me ask Carol Stanyard to join us for just a moment. Carol, if you don't mind, you know, I realize that there's a lawsuit ensuing. But essentially, are we going to need to create legislation? Do you think we need to, this needs to happen at the legislative level eventually?
Well, I think that certainly the state legislature can do something, and we'd hope that they would do something. But in the interim, this family is suffering. And when a legislature enacts a law that discriminates against a class of persons, it's the responsibility for federal courts to step in. And federal courts actually were created, you know, for this reason, to protect the individual or a class of persons who the state may be even temporarily discriminating against. So in this case, the individual is a special needs two-year-old, and the class in this case is unmarried parents and their children.
You know, Carol, should I be surprised at some level that, and I'm guessing this is the first time anybody's challenged this law?
It's the first time in federal court that this law has been challenged as a violation of equal protection. Yeah, and we were talking about that yesterday, that, you know, somebody asked us, why has it taken so long to challenge this? And we were all kind of dumbfounded. I don't know that we had an answer to that. But, yeah, it's clearly violative of the children and the unmarried parents', you know, rights here. And I don't know why. And I think it might be the demographic that, you know, lesbians and their children are not a particularly active or powerful force. They don't have money, and they don't litigate a lot because they're home taking care of the kids. So I think that may be part of it. But, you know, since 2002, these applications have not been processed by the state. So, yeah, it's been a long time.
Wow. I mean, this is just blowing my mind. All right, we need to take a...
You know, Tony, yeah. Can I speak to that just for 1 minute?
Real quick, we have to get to the break, so go ahead real quick.
Well, no, but we have had bills that have been pending in the state legislature. For many years, we've had two different bills that were introduced that would specifically allow for second-party same-sex adoption, and they've never gotten anywhere. And that includes when we had Democrats that were, you know, that was the majority in legislative houses.
All right, let's come back and talk about that. We just need to get to the break, and I'll reintroduce everybody on the other side. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. This is a critically important story. And for those state lawmakers that are listening this morning on their way to Lansing, you need to call me. We need to work something out. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDPW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at a new accident out there, 696 westbound before Jacquinder Road. The left lane is blocked. Expect some delays. Also, West Road, just east of 75, an accident there involving a car and a semi. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a chance of flurries in there as well, a high near 35, gusty winds in the west as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 24, and then tomorrow, still mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-30s. Right now, it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax breaks. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Trio on 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Very quickly, April DeBoer and Jane Rouser with us. They are a committed lesbian couple. They have three beautiful children. They would like to... They've adopted three beautiful children. They would like to both be the adoptive parents. It's something that makes sense from the legal standpoint. Unfortunately, it doesn't. Also with us are Carol Stanyar and Dana Nessel, who are their attorneys. The state constitution, ladies and gentlemen, bars or prohibits same-sex couples from marrying, as we know. And married couples and single people can adopt in Michigan, but unmarried couples cannot, and I'm going to go to Dana with this one now. Dana, making it that much more, interesting, confusing that this law hasn't been challenged long before now. You would think that there would have been a straight couple that would have challenged this law. I'm very confused on this question.
Well, honestly, Tony, in terms of straight couples challenging the law, for straight couples, there are easy solutions. Firstly, if the man is a biological father, he's got some parental rights. So if they're both biological parents, there's no need to get married. They're already going to be considered parents. If a person, for instance, if a father is not a biological father but wants to adopt the child, they can get married. I mean, there's an easy solution. That couple, that's an unmarried couple, just has to get married. And there's no problems. The problem with our clients, with April and Jane, and with so many gay and lesbian couples like them, is that the state strictly prohibits them from getting married. So there is no cure. There's no way for them to resolve that issue so that they can both be parents of the children they raise.
And that really is the problem. And let me go back to April and Jane for a moment. And as I... as I think about, you know, my kids at the age your kids are at and what a wonderful time this is, even though I understand there are some medical challenges there, I can't imagine a happier time for the two of you. You're in a loving, committed relationship. You've got three beautiful children with all the challenges that comes with that. We all get that. And to put yourselves in this situation now, I think in so many ways speaks to my heart, you two. I'm going to get a little emotional here, but I honestly believe that, you know, you just want what's best for your children. You know, this is one of those circumstances where I just want to scream to lawmakers or to judges or whoever will listen, my God, can we just not let love win just once?
Well, again, as you know, we want to tell everybody, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with us. This isn't this isn't a gay rights issue. This is a child's rights issue. We're talking about our children's rights. It's our children's rights to live in a two parent home. They have two loving parents. The law doesn't recognize that they have two parents. And some of the things, just the reality of it, and why this is so difficult for us, some of the things that I, as a parent to the boys, and, our son Jacob is the one with the special needs, I can't find, if I, as the non-legal parent, take Jacob to the doctors, if I take him to the hospital, if I take him anywhere that a legal parent has to sign, I can't get treatment for him. Now, if it's in a dire emergency at a hospital, they will treat him. But otherwise, we could prolong treatment for him because I have to wait for Jane to be available to sign legal paperwork for him.
I mean, that just puts this child at risk. I mean, it could be life and death. And then who's going to be responsible for that death? You know, and I hate to be that dramatic, but I don't think it's overly dramatic. I mean, in a real world, we need to think about these things.
Absolutely.
No, it breaks my heart. So from a legal standpoint, and let me turn to you, Carol, for this. Is there any precedent that gives you reason to be optimistic you may be able to find a solution to this, a positive solution to this?
Actually, we're real optimistic. There's a long line of cases from the United States Supreme Court, I mean, dating back 50 years, that you can't punish a child of unmarried parents because you disapprove of the parents not being married. So we're on pretty solid ground in this lawsuit, especially since Michigan, as you said, forbids parents from marrying. So that aspect of the case, I think, is really strong.
If the federal court were to say, were to rule in your favor, would that change the Michigan Constitution?
It would not. What it would do is we're seeking a declaratory and injunctive relief, and what it would say is, as applied to this family, that the state would have to process their petition for adoption. Effectively, it would open the door to other couples. It would not change, our lawsuit would not change the Michigan marriage amendment. It would change this law, or at least the application of this law, to this class of plaintiffs.
All right. What can my audience do to help? Because ultimately, we like to get involved. We're nosy people, this audience. What can we do to get involved?
Well, I think that
we're really glad that you asked that question, actually, Tony. We've set up a fund for this lawsuit. And I should indicate, this lawsuit is completely being financed by private donations from people, such as your listeners, who might be interested in supporting something like this. As you can imagine, April and Jane spend every last dime they have on these children. So they're not secret millionaires rolling around and, extra money beyond what they need to take care of their family. We didn't stop that from filing this lawsuit, and we were really hopeful that people would want to participate because it's such an incredible cause. Because we honestly believe there's going to be so many children that are going to be benefited by this, including the children who have not yet been adopted. out of the foster care system, who we think will be.
I got to tell you before we go any further, a victory would open the doors to thousands of children finding adoptive parents.
Well, that's absolutely true. And in fact, in the states where second party same sex adoption had previously been banned, but where that ruling was, where that law was overturned, or where the legislative branches passed a new law that allowed for it, the number of kids that were adopted out of foster care actually grew by leaps and bounds.
I believe that.
With every expectation that that's going to happen here. But the name of our fund is the Devour Rouse Adoption Fund. And it's the women's names, D-E-D-O-E-R, and then Rouse is R-O-W-S-E, Adoption Fund. And if your listeners look it up online, they can make a contribution, and we would welcome any kind of contribution at all.
Where are we going to find it online? Is there a website you can send us to?
There is a website, yes.
Mm-hmm. What is that, real quick?
Hey, Blade, do you guys have the exact website for that?
Yeah, the website.
All right, we've got to get to the break. We've got to get to the break.
Google us.
We're going to get to the break. We'll find it. We'll make sure we get it posted. We're going to keep on following this. Just know you got carte blanche. You need to get on the show. You call us, you're on the show. Anything we can do to support you, we want to do that. Quick break here. Gilda Jacobs on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident 696 westbound before DeQuinder. The left shoulder is blocked. Traffic is backed up to Van Dyke. 79 southbound between 14 Mile and 8 Mile. You're going to find some delays there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, a chance of flurries. Cloudy, a high in the mid-30s. Gusty winds in the west as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A low in the lower to mid-20s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A high near 35. Right now, it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Our first shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIND. Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. State attorneys general have been investigating bank fraud that tanked the economy, and the AFL-CIO is concerned that the Obama administration may reach a bad deal with the banks, letting them off the hook. The Labor Federation says banks need to be held accountable for the fraudulent practices that caused the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The AFL-CIO is calling on the Obama administration to reject any deal that insulates banks from full responsibility for their actions. The AFL-CIO commends attorneys general like New York's Eric Schneiderman and Delaware's Beau Biden for their leadership and courage in calling for a real investigation and also for relief on a scale that really helps the millions of homeowners victimized by the bank fraud. Working America has launched a campaign that's calling 9 demands of the 99%. They include key policy actions that would help put America back to work, support communities and not just Wall Street, and restore democracy. Working America activists are going door to door in several states asking people to sign on to the demands and to add their own. The demands of the 99% include taxing Wall Street, supporting public education, reining in the big banks, keeping working families in their homes through a mortgage relief plan, and demanding the 1% pay more taxes. Also on the list is extending unemployment benefits, calling on corporations to start using their huge pile of profits to hire workers, and abolishing corporate personhood. You can sign on to these demands and create your own at workingamerica.org. A compromise may have been reached in an issue that has hobbled long-term funding of the Federal Aviation Administration. On Friday, Republicans demanding a National Mediation Board ruling that allows airline and railroad workers to unionize with a simple majority made moves indicating they may drop the demand if a concession is approved. Under the concession, 50% of company employees must pledge support for a union election before the election can actually be held. That increases the hurdle from 35% showing support. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid called the compromise a good example of common sense results.
Ithaca Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast was made possible in part by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Very quickly, before I get on to my next guest, we have posted to the Facebook page a link to the DeBoer Rouse Adoption Fund, the couple that we had on in the last segment. Unfortunately, just time gets away with us, and we just don't have enough time sometimes, and today's one of those days. So it's posted to the Facebook page. We will make sure that we follow up on what's going on with this wonderful gay couple committed to raising these beautiful children. Sometimes the law is just wrong. This time it is. If you want to help them out, please go to our Facebook page and go ahead and make a difference there. Talking about making a difference. Our next segment is going to be both disturbing and, at some level, hopefully empowering, because it's time we start talking, dialoguing, and doing things differently. Joining me now is Gilda Jacobs. She is with the Michigan League for Human Services. They have a new report out this morning titled Kids Count. And I'm telling you, what you're going to hear this morning is going to be difficult, but you need to hear it. Gilda, I want to thank you for joining us again on First Shift. It's always... Sure. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and man, I wish that we had better news this morning. Tell us a little bit about this summary that's out today, and then we're going to get into some specifics.
Sure, Tony. Thank you. This is a report that we put out every year. There are three extremely disturbing things that just jump out right away. First of all, child abuse and neglect in Michigan jumped 34% over the last 10 years. I mean, that's huge.
That breaks my heart.
It really does. And half of the kids in public school now qualify for free and reduced price lunches. That's two out of every four kids need to access that program. And, you know, we've also just seen, just in general, a huge jump in childhood poverty in this state. So, you know, as we're starting to see signs of an economy that is starting to recover, the status of kids is getting worse in our state. And to me, these are red flags. This is something that has to go to our legislators, our governor, to say we've got to figure out what kinds of programs we can have in place to change the trajectory of these statistics.
Well, you know, it's as sad as this is, and I've got to tell you, I spent a considerable amount of time, the better part of 2 hours, going through the executive summary in some of these counties, county by county, looking at these numbers and really breaking them down. And the one question that keeps coming to mind for me, Gilda, is even though we do see the economy turning around, you know, we also see that when times are tough, we often let things go. Legislatively, we say, no, we've got different priorities. When things start to get better, we don't automatically go back and say, okay, now where do we need to pick up the ball? And I'm afraid, especially with the way things have been going this last 13 months here in the state of Michigan, Republicans don't make these types of issues priorities anymore.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you're right, that there isn't sort of a look back to see how we can do things better or differently. I mean, you know, the interesting thing is like, why is there a greater need for food assistance in Michigan if more people are getting jobs? You know, that's sort of counterintuitive. Well, that's because many of the jobs that people are getting are low-skilled jobs, but low-wage jobs. And even if you have two parents that are working in a family and they're both earning minimum wage, they're still not making enough money to literally put food on the table. But in the meantime, we've initiated a very harsh asset test for food assistance in our state when, you know, most other states either have gotten rid of their asset tests altogether or who have softened them. And yet we've gone really the other way, which, you know, really doesn't make a lot of sense, especially those dollars in particular are federal dollars that come in. They don't even come out of our state coffers. But we know things like the Earned Income Tax Credit, which was reduced last year, is probably one of the biggest anti-poverty tools that we have, both statewide and nationally. And while we were happy that it was preserved, there's a real great anti-poverty tool that now we have extra money and a surplus in the budget. And I know the legislature says, oh, everybody's trying to spend this money, but you know, for a little bit of money, we can go back and restore a greater percentage of what was lost because those dollars go directly back into our economy and make a huge difference for families who are just struggling to make it.
Well, you know, and then, you know, we go back to the first statistic, the children that are being abused and neglected, which is the one that just really, really yep. gets to me, Gilda, of all yep. the things. And you stop and you think, okay, why is this happening? I know there are a variety of reasons, and we don't have time to get into the psychology of all that, but that's not what this is about. At some level, it is, though, about parents being stressed. It is about them not finding meaningful work. It is yeah. about them losing their jobs and losing their hope. And yet, we have a culture politically that says, you know, instead of creating jobs, let's make sure we take care of our corporate citizens first. Let's take funding away from education and put it towards, the corporate good. And you begin to wonder, you know, if you're a parent and you're struggling and you've lost your job and you've been out of work for 3 years, and Gilda, we know many people that this has happened to in the state of sure. Michigan, you begin to wonder, where are the priorities?
I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, Tony. You know, there has been a pattern to try to give businesses tax breaks because the theory is that is going to create jobs. Well, has that really happened here, you know, in Michigan? No, it really indeed hasn't, because we are seeing the results of this stressed economy with families that then react in a very harmful way to the stress that they're living with. And you know, a lot of the families are single moms who have so many barriers to employment, and now there's an even stricter cash assistance cap. And sometimes some of these moms just can't figure out how to juggle, you know, daycare and working and trying to go to school and a job, and meet all of the requirements that they need for still receiving some cash assistance to kind of help them over this hump. And unfortunately, you know, the kids are the ones that are affected when the legislature often creates policy or the department creates policy that goes towards their parents. Well, the parents, you know, they're taking care of their kids. So sure that there's going to be enormous stress in these families, and communities are in stress, and, you know, kids don't have a safe place to walk in their neighborhoods or an ability to buy fresh food in their neighborhoods. I mean, all of those kinds of things add to the stress that's on a family.
Well, you know, what comes to mind immediately is there's a group called Blessings in a Backpack. I'm sure you're familiar with them, Gilda. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're helping children make sure they get fed on the weekends. You know, these are problems that we're largely ignoring as a society, and of course you're not. This is the foundation of the work that you do at the Michigan League for Human Services. But we're not putting, it's not just always about money. Sometimes it's about the dialogue. We're not even putting enough conversation into these issues, Gilda.
But you know, the interesting thing is so many of the folks that are making these decisions right now really want to know what's the return on investment for their dollars. There are studies after studies that show that by investing in the kinds of public policies that we're talking about to improve lives, in the long run, when a If a child grows up in poverty, they're most likely going to be adults that are living in poverty. Well, we can break that cycle if we can go in and try to help them and try to help lift them out of poverty, as opposed to creating policies that drive more kids into poverty, which is really what we've been doing. So, you know, we know that there's certain things that we can do that will reduce the need for remedial education, that will reduce the need for kids to perhaps go into the foster program, or kids that may grow up and be part of the juvenile justice system. We know what we can do early on, and there's a much greater return on investment when we sort of front-load the system and put our dollars into that. But, you know, you're right. The legislature is not making those connections. They're not connecting those dots, which is something that we do on a, you know, on a day-to-day basis to try to get them to understand this.
Well, you know, and absolutely. I mean, I understand. I understand that as a legislator, and for those that don't know, Gilda Jacobs was in the Michigan legislature at one point. She understands the stress that's put on a member of the legislature, that there are people from every corner of the universe that's asking you to do something. But what is more foundationally important to our very society than our children? There is not I can't say it more passionately, there is not a more important issue than our children, and we need to stop ignoring them.
You got to take your voice to Lansing, Tony.
Gilda,
you're absolutely right.
You know, I go back to the governor says last week, we need to invest in children, all right? Well, you know, stop using that word as if it's a can of beans you take off the shelf. If you're going to invest in society, if you really want to make a difference, Governor Snyder, start with those that are neglected, the children that are in greatest need, and make sure you invest in them directly and do it today. That's how we make a difference. Gilda,
yes.
I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Anything we can do, of course, you know we're here for you. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate your interest in that.
My pleasure. Wow, this is just so hard for me sometimes. It really is. I have a real hard time dealing with this because it's wrong. We can change this. We can make a difference today. Folks, call your legislators. Tell them we need to take care of the children of the state of Michigan. Occupy Detroit. We'll occupy First Shift on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits.
including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is, Bob Picano continues to show a pattern. After a while, you begin to wonder, and listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Picano has never been one of my top 10, you know, favorite electeds in Michigan. But I don't wish him ill, because that's like wishing the county ill. And I live in Wayne County, and I live in Michigan, and you don't want... Man, you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Tribbiani on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. All righty, and we're in wait for our Occupy Detroit guest, so when she calls in, we will get to her. That just gives me a little bit of time to talk about a couple things that we've been dealing with in this hour. And I want to go back to, I'm going to talk about, what we were talking about. First of all, the DeBoer Rouse Adoption Fund, that information is up on our Facebook page. I'm going to also get it up on the website a little later on this morning. If you can afford 10, 20 bucks to help this family out, this doesn't just change things, for that, for April and Jane. It changes things for every, and not even just gay couples, straight couples as well, but mostly gay couples who are so loving and have the capacity, the same capacity as anybody. I find it, you know, again, it's the year 2012, and there's this part of me that is just so confused about why people are so offended by homosexuality still. Do you not know gay people? Maybe you don't know you know gay people. I don't know. To me, it's a fundamentally simple idea. You know, this also, unfortunately, you know, kind of doesn't support the Beatles song, All We Need Is Love. We need more than love. We really do. It's critical, folks. It's critical that we help these folks out. Secondly, the work that the Michigan League for Human Services is doing in Lansing is another one of those things that doesn't cost you a dime right now. What I want you to do is to call your legislators and say, we need to help the children of the state of Michigan. It is critical that we do that. It is absolutely critical that we do that. And that's something that can be done with legislation. And that's something you can do. It's a phone call. Just use the free minutes on your cell phone. All right, let me turn my attention now to Occupy Detroit. Joining me now is Kathy Murphy. Kathy is here to talk to us about something that, you know, it's another Republican idea that on its surface makes no sense, and when you get beneath the surface, it makes no sense. Kathy, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate you being with us. I'm referencing House Bill 5024, as you know.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm going to guess a lot of people in my audience aren't familiar with House Bill 5024, but they will be right now. What is HB 5024 all about?
HB 5024 is just one of a couple of bills that the House Overseer,
Oversight Committee, that's right.
Yeah, the Overseer Committee on Quashing Workers' Rights today is going to be taking up House Bill 5024, which will amend the mass picketing law, which used to just be a misdemeanor offense, which they're turning now into an offense punishable by $1,000 a day if an individual is found to have violated an injunction, and a $10,000 a day fine for a union or organization that is found to have violated an injunction against mass picketing. Now, what's interesting about this bill is that in order to get an injunction in the old days when we had rights, you used to have to show irreparable harm, and you used to have to show that you tried a bunch of other avenues before you came to the court and sought the extraordinary relief of an injunction. Now all an employer has to do is say they're engaging in mass picketing and an injunction will be granted.
Yeah, and Kev, let me make this clear for those that aren't connecting the dots. This is the HB 5024 is a direct result of the advent of the Occupy movement and the strength of the union movement in the state of Michigan. It is purely a response to that. That's what this is. It is anti-Occupy. It is anti-labor. It is nothing but that. Don't let anybody tell you any different.
Yep, and there are three other anti-labor bills being discussed today by the House Oversight Committee. If public employees are found to be engaged in an illegal strike, they'll be fined a day's pay per day for every day, and their bargaining representatives will be fined $5,000 a day for every day that they've been found to be engaged in an illegal strike. Their fines will be deducted from their salary, and if they're not deducted by their salary, the commission will engage in collection proceedings, so that if the public employees and the public employer want to kiss and make up after a strike, the commission can't let them do it. And also House Bill 5025 will require the annual written consent of employees to have their membership dues deducted from their paychecks.
Yeah, in fact,
it used to just concern political contributions. Now it's their membership dues. And then also the SCAB Labor Advertising Act, the Solicitation of Strike Breakers Act of 1962, they're also trying to change that by repealing an old prohibition on recruiting for SCAB labor, which required the advertisement to say that the employment offered was to replace the striking worker. Now they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah,
if these bills pass.
And Kathy, it's just, again, if anybody is wondering where the Republicans' loyalties are, if this doesn't prove that they're to corporations, I don't know what will. There is no way to defend these bills to the public here in the state of Michigan. Kathy, no way you
can
defend
this.
None.
No way whatsoever.
Well, you know, yep. And I guess, you know, again, it goes back to, we're in an election year, folks. If these series of bills doesn't light a little fire under your ass, I don't know what will. Well, I'm just being honest, Kathy. You know, the bottom line,
I'm with you, Tony.
I just want to go back to House Bill 5024 for just a moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Literally, if HB 5024 passes, what happened in Grand mm-hmm. Circus Park last year would have required probably the state police, but the Detroit police for sure, to en masse arrest everybody that showed up there.
I'm not so sure about that. This is engaging in mass picketing. Well, maybe, in front of a place of employment or obstructing a road or, you know, any road or a highway. Also, and engaging in picketing of a private residence by any method whatsoever.
All right. So what happened?
Like a mass demonstration.
Okay. So what happened? At the governor's house last week, under this law, would have been barred. You wouldn't have been able to do it.
Well, that's already illegal under the existing Employment Relations Commission Act of 1939. You're not supposed to engage in picketing a private residence unless it's already authorized by the Constitution, which apparently it is. Otherwise, we would have all been arrested.
All right. Well, Kathy, we gotta
make it in front of his house.
Yeah, we gotta take off for the top of the hour. Thank you for your time today. We're of course gonna get on the phones and call our legislators. We got a lot of calling to do today. Chris Mihalakis is coming up. Folks, we've got a great hour coming up. Let's take the break. Traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us.
WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high in the mid-30s, a chance of flurries as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 24, and then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high near 35. Right now, it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio. I'm Andy Rose. It took a lot of criticism from Newt Gingrich and the loss in South Carolina, but Mitt Romney is now putting out his tax returns. CNN's Lisa Desjardins reports on what we'll see.
After taking a political pounding last week for not releasing his tax returns, Mitt Romney has apparently learned his lesson, and today he'll release his tax forms from last year and an estimate of his taxes for this year. We'll see not only his income, but roughly where it comes from, speeches, books, and investments. We'll also learn exactly what kind of tax rate he pays. Lisa Desjardins, CNN, Washington.
In last night's NBC News debate, Romney came out swinging against Gingrich and the consulting contract that Gingrich's company held with the mortgage broker, Freddie Mac.
This contract proves that you were not an historian, you were a consultant. It doesn't say that you provided historical experience, it said that you were as a consultant, and you were hired by the chief lobbyist of Freddie Mac.
Gingrich says his consulting contract did not involve lobbying for Freddie Mac, but Romney says the deal amounts to influence peddling. President Obama will be giving one of his most important political speeches tonight, the last State of the Union address before the November election. He's expected to focus on income inequality. The cleanup continues near Birmingham, Alabama, where tornadoes caused two confirmed deaths. Alabama Emergency Management Director Art Faulkner says they think everyone is accounted for now.
We believe that our first responders did a great job yesterday of going out and trying to locate everyone, and so we really feel that those numbers are pretty accurate.
The victims in Clay, Alabama were a teenager and an 82-year-old man. The public viewing of Joe Paterno starts this afternoon at Penn State. Mackenzie Mills will be paying her respects.
I think people should go just to support him like he supported us. I mean, he did a lot for Penn State.
Paterno died over the weekend, 3 months after a child abuse scandal in the program ended his coaching career. This is CNN Radio.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Macy's is trying to stop Martha. The company suing Martha Stewart Living, calling for a halt to plans to sell some items now exclusive to Macy's at JCPenney. Macy says the plans violate an exclusivity agreement between it and Stewart. Last month, JCPenney spent $39 billion for a 17% stake in Martha Stewart Living. Fed Reserve policymakers begin a scheduled two-day meeting in Washington a half hour after this morning's Wall Street opening bell.
Announcement of any interest rate change or new monetary policy action will come tomorrow. No changes on either front are predicted, but one thing is going to be new. For the first time, the committee led by Chairman Bernanke will issue an interest rate forecast, giving a rationale as to when changes in the key lending rate might come in the future. Stock futures holding negative ahead of Wall Street's opening bell. S&P futures down 7 points. NASDAQ futures losing 9. Dow futures down 46. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
What do we do before social media? Smoke signals? I mean, everybody's using it. Wouldn't it be great if you, small business owner, could get your best customers to share your message with all their friends? Now you can, with email marketing from Constant Contact. That's right, email. You send a Constant Contact email to your customers. It has a share button that lets them, well, share your message on social media. And suddenly, OMG, their friends become your next customers. This so beats smoke signals. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Everyone would like to get a few more miles from their gasoline. You'll be happy to know there's a gasoline that can help you do just that. BP gasoline with Invigorate can help your car get a few more miles per tank when compared to low detergent gas. When used continuously, it helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, which can help you go a little farther between fill-ups. We're confident you'll find a good use for the extra miles, even if it's just taking a long way home to hear the end of your favorite song on the radio. Fill up today with BP gasoline with Invigorate.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, January 24th, 2012. We're going to have a great hour. I've missed my friend Chris Mihalakis. He wasn't with us last Monday or last Tuesday because we had Cindy Estrada on, so he was on earlier and he wasn't in studio. And then I found out he's been sick, which I feel bad about, which means I haven't been a good friend because I haven't reached out to him. We'll get to Chris in just a moment. Folks, I just feel like I need to reiterate some of what we've been doing today. I really want, again, if it's $5, I really want you to step up and to donate some money to the Deborah Rouse Adoption Fund. We need to help these two women that are raising this beautiful family. A victory for them is a victory for thousands. And more importantly, it opens the door to adoption for thousands of children that wouldn't normally have a home. So please keep that in mind. We've got it pasted or posted to the Facebook page, and I'll get it on the website when I get back to the office later on today. Guys, go ahead and give me my intro. Let's get going.
First Shift honors our political and legislative director from the United Food and Commercial Workers Union.
I've been working in politics for years, and let me tell you what the Republicans think. The Republicans think the problem with our economy is that you, the listener, have it too good. They want to lower your wages. They want to weaken your collective bargaining rights if you're fortunate enough to have them. Here is Chris Mihalakis.
And indeed, here is Chris Mihalakis. And brother, welcome back. I understand you haven't been feeling well.
Yeah, you know what, Tony? It's probably a good thing I didn't come in the studio because I could have gotten you sick.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that.
That'd be a bad thing.
I'm a big baby when I'm sick. I don't know about you.
But I did not leave the bed for like 5 days. It was insane.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
Not fun. What do you think of the football playoff results?
I didn't even watch the championship games.
Really? You were that sick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would lie in bed and watch Cheers reruns on my iPad. Which is kind of fun.
And I don't know if that's sick or sad, but we'll leave that
I needed there. Brain candy, man. I couldn't handle anything.
I understand. Well, anyway, it's great to have you back in the studio. It's good to see you again. I'm glad that you are feeling better.
Yes, thank you.
And all that's important. You know, let's take a... I want to go back to last week.
Sure.
We've got a lot of stuff that we need to go over today, including some legislative stuff. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I said you're now our political and legislative director. We're just sharing you with the UFCW. So, Roger, if you're listening, I'm not picking up a salary necessarily, but glad to have him on my staff.
You know, you were one of many organizations.
Yes, thank you very much. I wanted to give you a chance, because we haven't had a chance to talk since the State of the State address. You know, it's obvious by now. We've talked about it. Even yesterday on the show, Mark Brewer mentioned it, that we're still getting a response, both in the affirmative and in the negative. I'd love your thoughts on the State of the State. Obviously, it impacts what you do for a living.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm reminded of the old fast food commercial, "Where's the Beef?" You know, there was the speech was missing a lot of red meat. And a couple things I found interesting about it. One was, you know, last year, Snyder rolled out a pretty aggressive agenda. For better or for worse, I mean, a lot of things that we didn't like, a couple things we did, the bridge being one. But this year, you thought he would have at least said, last year I said I'm going to do these 10 things. He got, you know, 8 or 9 of them done. I mean, that's a pretty good reason to toot your horn. And what surprised me was that, you know, even though I didn't like those things that Snyder got done over the year, he proposed a really ambitious agenda last year, and he got a lot of it done. And I thought he would have taken a little victory lap.
Well, what I find odd about that, before you go on, what I found odd about that was that, first of all, like you said, some of it he did tout, you know, like Public Act 4, you know.
Yeah.
His reaction to what you are saying, Chris, though, was... well, no, now we got to finish what we started. So, you know, I don't want to, it was almost like he's saying we're not capable of adding more to the bushel, and I don't get that.
But. Well, and that's what really makes me nervous. I was hoping that he was going to propose an even more ambitious agenda this year, a lot of work to keep all the legislators busy. You know, I was joking around yesterday, you know, maybe he'd propose some sort of crazy rocket to the moon. I don't know. I mean, something to keep Speaker Bolger and Leader Richardville busy. And instead, you know, he didn't. And that makes me really nervous as a Democrat and as someone from organized labor.
Why does it make you nervous? I mean, it's election year. I mean, part of me is saying, well, you know, the little bit of legislative agenda stuff there is, I mean, he's got about 90 days. We talked about this with Joe DeSano on Friday. You know, and then it's about so is it really a surprise that he didn't put an ambitious agenda forward?
It's not surprising. It's just upsetting to me because, you know, now the legislature is not going to have a lot to do except pass the budget, which they've already, I think, done part of last year.
Yeah, they kind of partially did it because they passed a two-year budget, is my understanding.
Right. And, you know, idle hands are a devil's playground, Tony. I worry about what Speaker Bolger is going to think up. You know, Richardville, I don't think, is going to come up with as many, you know, crazy anti-labor bills. That's not really Richardville's MO, thank God. But I fear what Jace Bolger can cook up in these next couple of months before the election. These guys do not fear being defeated, and so they will aggressively go, you know, who knows what they could come up. Now, you know, Governor Snyder has said he doesn't want to touch right to work, and it makes us really, really happy to hear him say that. Richardville saying he doesn't want to go after right to work, but they're leaving a little bit of a crack open.
So here's my question. Yeah. Also, the governor met with the legislative leaders last week, and business, not just legislative leaders, members of the business community. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce also has said they don't want right to work. Those of us on the left are going, this is great. I'm not saying that. Why am I not saying that? Why am I not excited that they're saying what they're saying?
Because there's also folks saying, well, if Indiana passes right to work, then, you know, maybe it's something we got to look at here to keep Michigan competitive. And then we're hearing rumors about a few, you know, Republican pollsters popping their heads up and you know, who knows what they could throw on the ballot this election cycle. Republicans always, every election cycle, put something on the ballot for their loyal constituents. They always put some red meat for their folks. And, you know, that's always a possibility. So, you know, we can never be too, you know, overconfident. And Indiana is not looking good. I mean, we were, I got a message this morning saying, you know, we barely live to fight another day. UFCW, we have members down there from our locals, our rank and file members that are down there helping out with the effort. And, you know, it's not looking good. Indiana could be a right to work state this week. And we're hoping to at least push it back till after the Super Bowl. But,
wow,
you know, that could get really scary. So, you know, there's rumors that Indiana could put it on the ballot. And the thing we got to remember is Governor Snyder and Mitch Daniels are really tight. And then, you know, we have a couple of these weird bills popping up. House bills 5023 through 5026.
Yeah, I want to wait till after the break because we're just about 2 minutes away from the break. So because I don't want to interrupt that conversation. Let's just go back to the state of the state for just a moment and clean up some of your thoughts on that. I talked about expectation, and he didn't certainly meet. And not that I had high expectations.
Right.
I mean, as an order, where you know he's not good. You know, and somebody made the point yesterday. I think it was Mark Brewer made the point yesterday. Listen, even if the speech would have sucked.
Yeah.
There was no substance.
And what's that say about Snyder that he doesn't have an agenda this year? You know, and that's what I find puzzling. One, you know, at the very least say, I don't have a big agenda last year because we got so much done. Or I don't have a big agenda this year because we got so much done last year. And he didn't even come out and say that. And it was very awkward. It was a weird. Now, granted, I was a little ill that night even before the speech. So I was feeling a little woozy when I was listening to it. Surprisingly, not because of the content, you know, because of my illness. But, you know, I would expect more. You know, Republicans are usually at least what they lack in legislative skills, they make up for in political skills. And I think that this was just a politically a weak speech from Governor Snyder, and I'm afraid of other factions in the party using this as an excuse to seize some more control.
Well, I think that is exactly what's going to happen very quickly because we are up against the break. There's a surplus. He doesn't talk about doesn't talk about the surplus in the budget in the speech, and he says he will be addressing this February 8th or 9th when he has the budget the budget address. You know, just had Gilda Jacobs on talking about how horrible things are for kids right now.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, are you optimistic at all, understanding what you understand about this heavy Republican legislature, that we're going to do anything that resembles something compassionate for the people of the state of Michigan?
You know, I hope so. Like, you know, the economic downturn Michigan has been in has been disastrous over the years. And the fact that we cut money from education last year and put it in a rainy day fund, I don't know what they're waiting for. It's raining, it's pouring, the old man is snoring. Let's give that money back to the schools where it belongs.
No. Again, amongst the many things that we need to do, we certainly need to make sure that we restore funding to education. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Chris Mihalakis again is my guest. If you'd like to join us, feel free, 888-552-3595. We have a series of anti-union legislation that's working its way through the House today. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to take a look at the national race, Newt and Mitt. Yeah, I know. Who would think that we would be talking about two candidates with the names of Newt and Mitt? But here we are. Welcome to 2012. A very quick break here, then First Shift continues. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that.
you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident northbound 75 at Outer Drive. It's a rollover. Only the right lane is getting through. Traffic is backed up a good 5 miles behind it. Also, southbound 275 at 7 Mile, we have an accident there on the right shoulder. Traffic is slow from 696. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high in the mid-30s, a chance of flurries in there as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 24. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high near 35. Right now, it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now, Hanson Clark. If the governor were to call you today and say, hey, Congressman, what is the number one priority I should be focusing on? What would you tell him?
Putting people back to work in the state. That's the ultimate goal. That's what we need. People are feeling very financially insecure. There are folks who are out of work right now. That's why I flew back to Washington, D.C. before Christmas to make sure that we had some unemployment benefits that were extended.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook and also Facebook. Follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Again, 22 minutes after the hour. Chris Mihalakis with us. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. A series of bills working through the state legislature today. Again, this is, I think, anti-union Tuesday in the state legislature. What the hell is this all about?
So, some Republicans, I think McMillan is leading this charge, have put together a crazy package of bills that would do a variety of different things. Among them would make unions get annual checkoff authorization to collect dues. So, a business agent, rather than, fighting for their members, rather than, handling grievances and doing the things that we do, organizing and straightening out our contract. They're going to, you know, act as, you know, glorified secretaries, basically walking around with checklists, making sure everyone's paid off for the year before they can defend them. And, you know, this is just another attempt at the Republicans to, this is kind of like a right to work light, kind of bill. They've also passed bills that are also in this package of bills are, it would change our advertising laws. So if Kroger, for example, if our workers were on strike there, heaven forbid, when right now under the current law, when they're hiring replacement workers, scabs, they have to say there is a labor dispute in progress. They have to let the workers know that they're crossing a picket line. And one of the laws proposed in this package of bills would eliminate that provision and be pretty deceptive and just let, you know, any employer say when they're hiring during a strike, oh, come on in, you know, we're hiring, taking applications, you know, good pay, good benefits, not informing them that they're crossing a picket line and could potentially lose their job in a couple of months when the labor dispute ends. So there's a whole package of bills, 50, 23, 24, 25, and 26, that do all of this. And, you know, Tony, we feel like this is nothing more than a blatant power grab aimed at weakening the middle class and giving more power to greedy CEOs at the expense of Michigan workers.
All right. If I don't think I'm being unfair here, and I'm actually saying this more to the benefit of the audience and maybe even more specifically the more conservative members of my audience. If these series of bills don't definitively demonstrate that this legislature is pro corporation and pro business, I don't know what more we can say. No, Chris, I don't know what more we can say to people.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's okay. Is it offensive? Yes, but big deal. It's politics. Politics can be very offensive. It's wrong. The hell with it that it's unfair. Yes, it's unfair. This is wrong. It's not just anti-union. It's anti-worker.
Absolutely, it interferes with our collective bargaining process, just like right to work would do. People forget. When you have a collective bargaining agreement, in effect, it's because a majority of the workers voted for that agreement, and it's because management agreed to that collective bargaining agreement. And so, you know, when you have a law interfering with how a union does their own internal business and how a union collects dues and functions, or when you pass a law, you know, misleading scabs that they're going to be scabs, I mean, that's a pretty big blow to the collective bargaining process, and it really weakens a lot of our collective bargaining power. I think it's ironic that these are the same people that want states' rights, that want more individual freedom. Let us run our own organizations just like we've always had for thousands of years. You know, a union is a democracy. And we have our, you know, the rules that govern us, we decide on our own. You know, let us handle our own collective bargaining process. A collective bargaining agreement is a democratic process. Let us do what we know how to do. Why don't you want more democracy in the workplace? Why do you want a workplace to be a dictatorship? And that's what really worries me about the direction the Republicans are going. You know, they want less democracy in the workplace, and they want more, and so they want every private company to be, you know, a dictatorship. And then anything in the public sphere and all public employees, not only do they want to take away their bargaining rights, but then they want to privatize everything and sell them to, you know, sell what these public employees do to private corporations and contractors.
You know, this brings me back to the case on the west side of the state where they tried to privatize the healthcare, the veterans hospital, and what happened there when they were using these privatized people that were not well trained. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. they're dropping patients, they're breaking hips, right. There are lawsuits left and right. You know, there are times, Chris, where that collective bargaining agreement, that guarantee of we're going to have X amount of training, we're going to dedicate X amount of hours to patient care, There are times where when we define the relationship between management and labor, it strengthens the bond of whatever that business might be. I don't care if we're talking about an auto parts factory or we're talking about an old folks home.
Right.
All right. The basic tenet of that relationship is strengthened by that collective bargaining. It's defined by that collective bargaining agreement. Why won't they just leave it alone? I don't get it.
Tony, I'm with you. I laugh because it's absurd that a concept as simple as democracy in a workplace is so foreign to these Republicans. And how can they not get something as simple as that? And, you know, these bills also, Tony, they don't do anything to rebuild our economy. They don't do anything to create jobs. You know, this is just another blatant attack against organized labor. How many bills has the legislature passed that has addressed job creation? Not one that Zero. I can think of. And
you have a governor. Let's go back to that article I shared with you earlier about right to work. You have a governor that says that he doesn't want to create a divisive partnership with labor. And some could point to the creative arrangement that they made with the state workers, mm-hmm. where the SEIU and the UAW and all of them came together and did their package of collective bargaining and all worked out great. And so the governor all of a sudden is an okay guy in that regard. Okay. Bottom line, though, is that he allows this to happen. He's allowing this to fester. And maybe, you know, maybe it's kind of like I own a restaurant and I'm letting my kitchen staff make a soup that I'm saying I'm never going to serve. Well, once the soup's cooked, you're really going to throw it away, Chris? I mean, that's the question I'm asking this
morning. That's a great analogy, Tony. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. I mean, you know, this comes back to what I said before about the governor not giving us a strong agenda.
Well, it's a lack of leadership.
Right. Right. And there's a lot of lack of discipline in the Republican Party, which is a very rare thing for them. And, you know, I hope that Governor Snyder listens to organized labor more, gets more ideas from us, and hopefully we can start to work together, you know, going forward this year.
I'm still convinced he's a one-term governor. He's always wanted to be a one-term governor. I'm convinced that's true. We have to take a break. I'm assuming you can stay with us. I didn't ask.
Yeah.
All right. Chris Mihalakis with us, 888-552-3595. We're going to take a look at national politics when we continue, and I'm going to try to cool off a little bit. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident northbound 75 at Outer Drive. It's a rollover. Only the right lane is getting through. Traffic is backed up a good 5 miles behind it. Also, southbound 275 at 7 Mile, we have an accident there on the right shoulder. Traffic is slow from 696. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high in the mid-30s, a chance of flurries in there as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 24, and then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high near 35. Right now, it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's go to Rachel Maddow. She does an amazing job of reporting the truth.
My personal nomination for the single most radical thing implemented by any Republican legislature and governor is what happened in Michigan. It's Michigan's expanded emergency financial manager law. It allows Rick Snyder, the state's Republican governor, to essentially, effectively, abolish all local voting rights. Congratulations, Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Trio
on 1310 WDTW.
Obama must okay that Keystone XL pipeline from Canada to the Gulf Coast, barked the corporatists in Congress, because the Exxons and Chevrons need a way to get all that Canadian tar sands oil to their Texas refineries. That'll increase the supply of gasoline and lower the price at the pump. It's economics 101, bucko. Really? Well, consider this complicating fact. Rather than shipping an abundance of gasoline to our gas stations, Big Oil has quietly been siphoning oceans of fuel from their U.S. refineries, shipping it to Asia, Europe, and Latin America. Last year, for the first time ever, fuel became the top export of the United States. The big refinery shipped 117 million gallons of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel per day out of our country. Suddenly, fuel exports are bigger in dollar value than the foreign sales of American aircraft, agriculture, or any other product. Commuters, truckers, farmers, airlines, and others who are dependent on these fuels have been soaked in the past year by gasoline pump prices that have averaged $3.52 a gallon, a record high. This price shock has given Big Oil's political puppets an excuse to yap ceaselessly about the urgent need to build that pipeline. The environment be damned is their cry, full speed ahead to increase supply. These ranters don't mention, the giant refiners' control and manipulation of our gasoline supply for their own fun and profit. While the refiners refuse to reveal how much they profit from exporting fuel, the more they send overseas, the less there is here at home, allowing them to jack up our prices. No surprise, then, that the Big Five gasoline makers enjoyed record profits in 2011. This is Jim Hightower saying, rather than ripping apart our environment to serve these finaglers, America urgently needs a full conversion to alternative fuels.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock, it is Tuesday, January 24th, 2012. Chris Mihalakis is my guest, as he is every week at this time. We turn our attention now, Chris, to some national politics, and of course, it's been interesting. This has been quite entertaining. I'm actually enjoying the primary season far more than I thought I would.
Oh, yeah.
We have two serious contenders here. Now we need to correct, as we briefly did yesterday. As it turns out, Rick Santorum won the Iowa caucus.
That's right.
So they redid the math, and that's fine. The Iowa caucus in the bigger picture doesn't matter. Mitt Romney goes into New Hampshire, wins that fairly easily.
Which he had to, because that's his, you know, home, backyard.
Right. He actually has a home in New Hampshire.
Right.
And so that we move on to South Carolina, and Newt Gingrich ends up doing exceptionally well there on Saturday night. Double-digit victory.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have won it. 10 days ago, he wouldn't have won it. 10 days later, he is winning it.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at Florida, where Mitt Romney again had a huge lead in the polls, and it looks like they're pretty much tied now.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, especially because Florida is a winner-take-all state. And, I think it's a more important state for Newt to win than Mitt because, unfortunately, I think Mitt is going to win Michigan. And so, last time we talked about national politics, I brought up Tony. I said that if Mitt Romney wins South Carolina, that's it. It's all over. Well, that was because, I thought he was coming off a victory in Iowa and New Hampshire. And now it's after the first three primaries, you have three different winners. And the only one that Mitt Romney won was his own backyard, New Hampshire, which if he would have lost, then it would have been over for him very early. So now Mitt is and Newt are slugging it out. Florida is going to be an interesting case, but and I think Mitt will do well in Michigan. So the question, it's going to be a race to Super Tuesday. Can Newt stay alive that long?
Well, there are a couple things. Number one, and this is still very true, Mitt Romney is the only candidate that has a national campaign.
Right.
He has
right.
an infrastructure in every state, and
right.
it's in place. It's funded. They know the money's going to be there. They budgeted. That's not an issue. Newt Gingrich, not so much.
Right.
I mean, he is dependent on every single state. And it's working.
Yeah.
But is it enough is the question. And the way they're going after each other, which, again, last night in the GOP debate on NBC – although it was kind of a rehash of more recent tired stuff, they're still, you know, making it fairly easy for Democrats, you know, to say, you know, they're basically feeding the Democratic Party what they need in order to fight either one of them. There's this ongoing debate who is easier for Obama to beat, and the conventional wisdom is it would be Newt Gingrich, that if he's the candidate, then Obama wins in a landslide.
Yeah.
At this point, I'd probably agree with that, because there would be the starkest difference between the two. There's nothing about Mitt Romney that turns me on, and I just mean that, you know, he's certainly a flip flopper. The Democratic National Committee. They send out reams of emails on a daily basis telling us how horrible Mitt Romney is, and it's all factually true. Of course, Republicans don't read that stuff, just Democrats do.
Right.
And Republicans are going to vote for whoever, at the end of the day, the candidate, whoever that candidate is. Does Newt Gingrich, he is the more conservative. Conservatives still care. We're seeing in the exit pollings that matters to, still is mattering to Republican voters.
Right.
Could Newt Gingrich hold on till Super Tuesday? I mean, could he make a real race of this?
I think he can. I mean, a win in Florida would make this just a drawn out slugfest through at least Super Tuesday. And you know, he is attracting a strong base of Republican voters. It's the older white men. Who, you know, like his, you know, crankiness and his arrogance. And, but, you know, that's one of the big mistakes that I think when I watched Newt's victory speech, and there's three things that caught my eye, that I thought were big, big campaign mistakes. And if I were advising him, I would have been yelling at him a whole lot that night. Of course, I would never advise him. But, you know, one is he actually at one point talked about how smart he was. Like, I mean, words cannot even describe how ridiculous that is. Remember how John Kerry was too snooty and too pompous and too smart for us? Well, Newt is that times 10. And he actually, like, I forget what the exact line was, but, like, in one of his opening sentences, he said, you know, it's not just that I'm the smartest candidate, but I'm the most articulate. And then he went on to challenge Obama to 7 3-hour debates, which I would absolutely love, because, you know, and the third mistake he made was being overtly arrogant and very presumptive. Now, if I'm Obama, 7 3-hour debates are going to be just like amazing, because Newt's one of those guys where when you call him out on his double talk and his crazy logic, he's going to get flustered and he's going to get frustrated and he's going to look really, really bad on TV. And as far as his arrogance and his presumptiveness, I mean, it may work for a part of the Republican base. But to the average swing voter in a general election, they get really turned off on that. That's what did Kerry in a while ago. And, Kerry had, watching those debates, it was like, you know, watching John Kerry say to himself, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy, when he was debating George Bush. And the American public doesn't like that. They don't like that kind of arrogance and that know-it-all-ness. And, you know, the things that Newt Gingrich has said, it just, like, blows my mind that he thinks he's the smartest person in the room, no matter what room he should walk into.
Well, it of course, is very interesting, because right now it's about Joe DeSano's favorite sport, Republican on Republican violence.
Yes, my favorite sport as well.
Yes, you posted that on Facebook the other day. I saw that. And who doesn't like it? Because they happen to both be, let me put it this way. One's really good at it, and the other one's not really good at it, which makes it a really good fight, because Mitt doesn't know how to respond.
Right.
And Newt's really good at being mean.
Right. Right.
And he's really good at it.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, the national pundits were discussing the other day, at what point does Newt Gingrich start to turn people off? Now, in a Republican primary, I don't know that he does.
Oh, no. You're absolutely right.
In a general, it becomes a big problem, because Newt Gingrich appeal to in a general election? And
really, 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 really white people.
Yeah.
Who don't like anybody.
Right.
You know, they're the people that, you know, walk out of the, you know, whatever. I went and saw that the new Tom Hanks movie this weekend about 9/11. And people were walking. I was telling people yesterday morning, this one couple were walking out of there and saying, well, we thought it was going to be fun. We thought this was going to be a fun movie. Yes, because you would make a movie about 9/11, right? And that's what the first thing I thought of was the Republicans. I seriously did. I said to myself, these people are Republicans. They would vote for Newt Gingrich, right. A very angry Newt Gingrich. But because Mitt Romney is so bad at defending himself, and Newt Gingrich is so good at making himself look like something that he's not, if he continues to see some money rolling in, and he obviously is, he's obviously resonating with some part of the electorate, or he still wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't be doing as well as he's doing. This could get very, very interesting. The Democrats, I think, the danger for them is to try to get involved in this. They're still very focused on Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the danger for the Democrats is to get involved in this. I think they need to, if I were advising them, I would take a little more of a step back than they are. To me, they're still a little too aggressive because the Republicans may just take care of this all on their own.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, hit record at any time either of them talks about each other.
Yeah, that's been the other thing as well, is we don't get any new information. Somebody had called the show earlier today and said, and of course, Newt Gingrich constantly says the elite media is all for Barack Obama and they're just trying to get him reelected. Guy calls the show this morning and says, I think the media wants a Republican in the White House. I don't believe that. I truly don't believe. I don't know what the media, I don't care what the media wants. Although I do find it interesting that they don't ask very good questions in these debates. Yeah. I'm not seeing substantive questions. And now they're not playing by the rules. Last night was a great example. You've got Rick Santorum and Ron Paul. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they're still candidates. You should treat them equally. They're not being treated equally.
Right.
They're not even close.
Right.
And I would imagine it's very frustrating for the two of them. It doesn't matter. They're not going to be the nominee in any way, shape, or form.
Thank God, as bad as Mitt and Newt are, yeah, those are even worse.
If you can imagine that. But that's the way it is. Let's talk for a minute about the State of the Union tonight.
Yeah.
Is this an opportunity for the president, in light of the political landscape that we have right now, right in the throes of the GOP primary season, is tonight an opportunity for him to reaffirm that he is the president of the United States and for him to absolutely, definitively show presidential leadership tonight?
I think so. I think while there's, you know, a catfight going on in the GOP primary, I think this is an opportunity for Obama to look presidential, to look like a leader, to be strong, to be firm, and to really announce what his plans are for the future, not just for this year and what his legislative agenda is for this year, but for down the road.
Rita just sends me an email, and she says, Newt will always be the smartest person in the room if he only hangs around with Republican base.
Well, that's very true.
She meant it that way. You want to hang, or you got to get out of here? It's up to you.
I can hang.
You'll hang. Chris Mihalakis, again, he is our legislative and political director. We are now sharing him with the UFCW. All right, not true.
Thanks, Rogers.
But, yeah, Rog, appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back and wrap things up on the other side. I am Tony Truppiano. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Tom Fitzpatrick joins us now.
And dads, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, they were pushed to the side. They were marginalized. They were judged as, uncaring and incompetent. And they felt unappreciated and not respected and not valued. You know, it's the Homer Simpson syndrome. And at the same time, I've never met a man, Tony, who didn't love his kids passionately and were longing for more connection and really wanting to give the unique gifts that they have to parents.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Tribbiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today.
Tweet.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, again, Chris Mialakis is with us. Chris is the legislative and political director at the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. That happens to be my union as well. Chris, as you know, Mitt Romney is going to be releasing. In fact, he's already released his tax returns in an almost complete 2011 return. It's going to show us that he's made $42 million in the last 2 years.
Wow.
He's given upwards of, I think, $7 or $8 million to charity, which is fine. Nobody's going to complain about that. Do you find it odd that he decided to do it on the day that the president's going to deliver the State of the Union?
Oh, yeah. I think that's what you call throwing out the trash. You know, trying to keep that news buried. But, his 13.9% tax rate, that's pretty impressive. That's a good, 10% less than what you and I pay?
Right. And in fact, Jeff, let me know when you have it ready. There was let me find my audio sheet. Newt Gingrich, Andrea Mitchell did a piece on Newt Gingrich because, of course, he's going to attack Mitt Romney. And this is what Andrea Mitchell found out about Newt Gingrich. Listen to this.
In a roller coaster year, he's the high-flying candidate of the moment, rising in the polls. But for years before becoming a candidate, Newt Gingrich was already jetting around the country. Records show, courtesy of a tax-exempt political organization, American Solutions for Winning the Future, which footed many of the bills. The organization's IRS filings list at least $6.6 million for charter jet travel over 4 years, almost $2 million in 2010 alone. One of those private jet trips took Gingrich to Iowa, where he visited four cities in November 2010, promoting his latest book. The charge, almost $100,000. Another took him to Notre Dame in Indiana in September of that same year, where he and his wife showed their documentary film. That charge, almost $74,000, again paid by American Solutions. While these were not American Solutions activities, the Gingrich campaign told us there were other events on those trips which were. American Solutions qualified for tax-exempt status by defining itself as a political organization, specifically a Citizen Action Network, originally funded by Nevada billionaire Sheldon Adelson, also the money man behind Gingrich's super PAC. Campaign finance experts say all such organizations are supposed to be about political activity, not for self-promotion or an undeclared political campaign.
The 527 tax code stipulates that campaign finance
operations need to be independent of the candidate himself.
And NBC News has learned that even some Gingrich advisors, leaders of American Solutions, questioned his charging millions of dollars of private jet costs to a tax-exempt organization. But sources say Gingrich dismissed their objections.
This looks very questionable, and it does raise the issue of whether some of these trips were being used as cover for other activities for Mr. Gingrich.
The Gingrich campaign told NBC News American Solutions went to every length to follow the rules. While not necessarily violating the letter of the law, many experts say Gingrich mastered campaign finance regulations, taking advantage of a gray area in the law to have the best of all worlds. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Tampa.
All right, so here's the question, and Jeff and I were talking about this morning. Okay, 13.9% tax rate for Mitt Romney. We just listened to that report from Andrea Mitchell. Listen, the reason that this is happening is because there are laws that favor them. The only way to change this is to change the laws.
Right.
Do we really blame? Do you think Democrats don't do this? Because they do.
Oh, yeah.
So let's just be honest about it.
Sure.
I have a real hard time criticizing these guys for taking advantage of something. In fact, I would think that they'd be awfully stupid for not taking advantage of this stuff.
Yeah.
So let's address the real problem, which we won't do because, listen, it's not unlike, you know, why do poor people vote for Republicans? Because they think one day they're not going to be poor.
Right.
Why do lawmakers not change the rules? Because they think one day they're going to be the uber rich.
Right.
And they probably will be.
Right. And studies have shown that many folks enter Congress, you know, some with modest earnings, some without, and many walk out millionaires.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, 60 Minutes not long ago did a piece on that. Do we really find fault with them? I mean, is it just going to be a lot of verbal masturbation? I mean, is that all this is going to be when push comes to shove, we start talking about Mitt Romney's tax return? I mean, it's really just about taking advantage of the laws that are put in place by both Democrats and Republicans.
I think the way to make a lot of changes that we need to make in our system is to take money out of politics, plain and simple. You know, politics, your involvement in politics, your ability to run for office, it shouldn't be strictly a function of money. You know, when you have corporations able to give unlimited amounts of money to political candidates to do with, you know, God knows what with, you really change the whole system. And you really, you know, you get a lot of situations like this where you got people who want to take advantage of the system and make as much money as they can and personally benefit as much as they can. And, you know, that's why we got to start with overturning Citizens United.
Well, and we do need to do that. Talked a little bit about that with Mark Brewer yesterday. It's interesting because when the Occupy movement first started, my message to them, both privately and publicly, was make this about money and politics. Make your movement about money and politics. And it's diverged from that. It right. has. And that's fine because it's doing, especially Occupy Detroit, doing some really good stuff.
Right.
And so I don't want to disparage the Occupy movement because they're doing some really good stuff. I was hoping that would be the focus, would be the money and politics. It's not going to be, and that's okay. I don't know when it ever will be. But at some point, it's because it's not like we don't have the discussion. We do have the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a candidate for Congress, was a horrible money raiser. That's why I didn't win. That's why I wasn't taken seriously. I couldn't raise money. I'll admit it was my fault, and I got to wear it. That's fine. But it's still how we measure a candidate today, by
That's
how
right.
they raise money.
That's
and
right.
I think it's horribly unfair. How many truly good people, Chris, you've recruited candidates. How many truly good people don't serve or haven't served because they couldn't raise money?
Right, right. You're absolutely right about that. And you know, you have to have money to run for office yourself. You have to be able to raise it from friends and family. And if you're broke and your friends are broke and your family's broke, you got nowhere else to turn. You're not going to be a state legislator.
No, you're not. You know, and that's it's hard. People don't understand the difficulty of raising money in politics. And there are some people that can self-fund campaigns, especially at the state level. It's not as hard to self-fund a campaign
right.
as it is, obviously, for a federal office. But it's still the money in politics, and that's the difficulty. And listen, if you're asked to run, if the party asks you to run, and that does happen,
Then you get a little help, and that makes it a little bit easier. But at the end of the day, it's still about that's the equation. That's the equation that needs to get changed is the money in politics.
Yeah.
Great week. You will not be with us next week. You're off to a conference, so we will miss you. But and you can't be replaced, so maybe we'll just maybe we just won't do the 8 o'clock hour next week. We're just gonna run a best,
I'm sure you'll get fired.
Best of Chris Mihalakis next week. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm kind of lost now. Anyway, have a great trip. We'll look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks. Thanks for staying with us all hour. We appreciate that. All right, that does it for us for today. Anthony and Jeff, as always, awesome job. Thank you for everything you do. Amazing audience, because I love you. And don't forget, if you need me off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at accident northbound 75 at Goddard. It's on the right shoulder. Some slower traffic. 75 southbound between 696 all the way down through Kniff. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today: cloudy, a high near 35, a chance of flurries as well. Gusty winds to the west too. Tonight mostly cloudy, a low around 24, and then Wednesday mostly cloudy, a high near 35. Right now it's overcast and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Have a great day, everybody.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Identify yourself, please.